The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
The quarterback, two receivers lined up to the left, one to the right. There's a flanker lined up to the left behind the quarterback.
Yeah.
He gives the ball, though. He doesn't get the ball. The receiver goes all the way over there to the left. Once the quarterback has the ball, he fakes to the left. No, he fakes to the right. He doesn't fake. He thinks about faking. He pretends to fake.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
It's not like you could use a shower. Oh, listen, you can think what you want about my personal hygiene, but please don't waste any water. That's bad policy.
Paul Perillo.
So that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.
And Andy?
There, girl, you're seeing.
Seeing? I see a lot of girls. I see a lot of guys, too.
I think that's sexy. You ever been with a guy and a girl at the same time?
Oh, yeah, plenty of times. The other night, I was with my mama and Coach Klein at the same time.
Andy Hart.
And I like Vicky, and she likes me back. And she showed me her boobies, and I like them, too!
Eric Scalavino.
I want you to think about all those mean people. They're going to be your tackling fuel.
Tackling fuel.
We're going to use them to play football.
Tackling fuel.
For now, anyway.
Ooh, I'm a football player.
Coach, I'd like to tackle him right now,
please.
Not yet. PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh, no! We suck again!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium, Media Day. That means Tom Brady will be having his press conference. Bill Belichick already had his practice report coming out at the end of the day, the participation report, I should say. It's no longer an injury report, I don't think, on Wednesdays and Thursdays. That really doesn't come until Friday. So we'll get the participation report by 4 or 5 o'clock today. And we already have reports that Danny on the mend Ola is looking better out there. Gronk was out there, but Matthew Slater not, and Sebastian Vollmer not.
Das Boot.
So
Kevin liked that.
You didn't like that, my Danny on the mend Ola?
No, he actually rolled his eyes.
Wow.
I just don't believe it.
Various reports. Including Paul's guy, Jeff Howe, says he's looking better.
Yes.
Looking much more fluid in his motion.
Of course, the reports last week were a guy couldn't look much worse on the practice.
Well, and he didn't play, so that could be accurate.
Sure, and yeah. He's better, and he could still be 3 weeks away for all we know.
We got the Falcons coming up Sunday night. They're a good team. They pose a lot of offensive problems, I think, for the Patriots matchup-wise. So that's going to be a big deal.
The one and two Falcons.
The good news is that on defense, the Patriots are pretty healthy.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots are pretty healthy. But I do want to talk about Vince Wilfork a little bit. A lot of fans have been emailing me and asking, you know, do you see any, you know, drop off in his play? He doesn't seem to be getting much push. And I was just interested, Andy, you're here. Paul, I have no idea where Paul is.
I think he's behind that door, actually.
Oh. You know, I'll ask Paul, but I'll ask you, what do you think about his play so far, Vince Wilfork?
I don't think he's been up to his usual high level. Now, it's somewhat hard to say that because they've been pretty good against the run, certainly weeks 1 and 3. He got pushed a little bit against the Jets, and they had some success. They had that little stretch of read option, and Powell had some success. I don't think Vince has been at his best, though, through the first couple weeks, and I'm not sure why that is because theoretically, you're pitting him a lot of the time next to Tommy Kelly, who
right.
is a better player than he's been with for a long time next to him.
See, you know, and maybe it's a work in progress, but I really expected with Kelly there, one of the other would
sure.
we'd be seeing things.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, you can't double team both. Now, Kelly has flashed. He's made some plays.
Yes.
Vince
has not flashed all that much,
yeah.
which is weird for him. You know, he flashed a lot early last year. We never know. Maybe he has an injury. Maybe he's nicked up.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll find out later. He's like Logan Mankins, and he tore his ACL in week one and hurt the rest of the
year. And I bring that up as the TVs all go crazy.
I thought Paul did it because he moved his headphones, and as soon as he pulled his headphones, the TVs went out.
I bring that up.
And I just plugged it back in, and it went back on.
I bring that up because, relatively speaking, the Patriots' defense is in pretty good health right now.
Yes.
And they're going to need it because I think the Falcons pose pretty good offensive threat.
Falcons are actually a little banged up on both sides of the ball
right now.
With Roddy White, kind of a shell of himself, and their left tackle situation. Although the guy who filled in, who's usually their right tackle, reports where he played pretty well last week against the Dolphins.
Did he play? Or
no,
did he
Holmes,
stay on the other side?
Lamar, okay. Lester, Lamar. L. Holmes, I'll call him.
L. Andy and I do that a lot when we're doing preview work. E. Page was the returner for Tampa Bay a couple of weeks ago.
But, you know, that to me, that's one position they should target, is that left tackle. You have Chandler Jones. They have Sam Baker and or Holmes, L., that's a matchup I think that Jones should win. If you're looking where I can, you know, you'd also say Talib on a receiver. Okay, can I win that matchup? If you're starting to break this down into matchups, I think Jones needs to have a good day if they're going to have a good day defensively.
Yeah, that's exactly the phrase I just used. Did one of my points on that, because you know Andy talked about it yesterday when we were doing our other show. We can't even keep them all straight, but that's a matchup Chandler Jones needs to win, and they need to get pressure with four guys on Ryan, because they're not, I mean, I know they haven't blitz, they don't blitz a ton anyway, but they're not going to really have that luxury this week to be able to send a lot of extra guys at Ryan, and they need to make him uncomfortable. And that is the matchup I think that stands out, is whoever ends up being the left tackle is subpar. Sam
Freddie,
Baker is not a great left tackle.
Are you worried about Vince? Is that why you bring this up?
Well, I really expected Tommy Kelly to maybe free him up a little bit, or vice versa, and I haven't really seen
it. Have we seen
yet.
Any signs of an injury?
Not that I know of. I mean, certainly not from the waist down. There's no limp. There's no difference there. You never know. There could be an upper torso type of thing.
We hear about those later, and, you know, it's not an injury report violation because he's playing every snap.
He's not missing any practice. He's not missing any games.
You know, you never know with these guys. Generally, I think Mankins, Brady, Will Fork, Mayo even, when they start to not play as well, I think the first thing you assume is maybe they're dealing with something.
Right.
So maybe he's dealing with something.
Right. Yeah. But, you know,
he's been very quiet, though. I agree with you guys. I caught your conversation as I was walking in. He's been very quiet.
Yep. What else is on the table?
Red zone offense.
Red zone offense. I like Bill's answer today. What does he look to improve there? Well, it starts with not turning it over.
And that starts with?
Tom Brady.
Two of those turnovers. Pulled out early for the fumble and had the whatever throw, crap-ass interception.
If both of those turned into 7 points, which they should have, you'd see a vastly different stat after 3 weeks. So, you know.
Yeah, it's not good. And it's one of those things, too, like you like to assess things later in the year, and you certainly have to with this. The Patriots are 32nd in red zone offense. The Jets are number one in red zone defense. The Bills are like 9, and the Bucks are 3.
Right.
Are they going to be there later in the year, and I'll say, well, we struggled against good red zone defenses.
Right.
Or are they there because the Patriots suck in the red
right.
zone?
Right. It's just
it's too early
the
for
sample,
those types of
the sample
which,
set is
cause
too
and
small.
Effect? I don't know.
Right.
Which
the
one.
Sample is too
but
small.
Atlanta is like 23rd in red zone defense. And I kind of pose the idea on our TV show, if you get Gronk back, whatever he is, I got to think the one place you can guarantee he's going to help you would be the red zone.
Oh, yeah. Well,
Bill,
if he's
limited Bill wasn't in the, willing well, to guarantee that.
Bill's not willing to guarantee anything.
Well,
I don't know.
Look, he does.
I guarantee if Gronk steps on the field, you're better in
but,
the red zone.
But
yes.
But
it's ridiculous.
I know.
Said, I don't
the
know.
Gronk that you know.
No. Any Gronk, a guy wearing an 87 jersey, is going to have two
Listen,
guys paying attention to him.
Last year, in that game that he came back against Miami, he wasn't the Gronk that I know, and he still was a
right.
red zone target.
No. But even if he doesn't catch a touchdown, I'm saying you won't have two guys near Zach Sudfeld.
I know.
You'll have two guys near Gronkowski and maybe Sudfeld's
exactly.
free.
If it was me saying, oh, when Gronk gets back, things are going to be different, you guys would make fun of me. Well, how do you know?
No, overall, offensively, right. I think you don't know.
I'm
but in
the
red
zone,
it has to be better.
You're guaranteed
don't you
if
think?
He's on the field.
I hope so. I believe that.
Even if he's not himself, what Andy just said is very
I believe that.
Plausible. I mean, you don't think he's going to Let's just say, for argument's sake, he's 50%. Well, he's still got to take two guys from the other
right.
team
well,
in
that's
the red zone.
Well, that's a good segue into the next topic, which is, do you think he's going to play this weekend?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Paul?
I think it's 50-50. I, I guess I'll say yeah.
Pull the fence out your ass.
I don't have any real information to go on, you know, to make a logical guess.
So it's like every other guess we make.
Is there any reason to wait until the next home game to put it out there? Is it worse?
What does home or away have to do with anything?
Just familiar surroundings. If something happens, he's closer to the medical staff. I don't know.
The ambulance is closer.
Right.
What are we talking about?
I don't know. It's just.
Yesterday you told me it was as simple as his forearm muscle isn't all that strong.
I said it
today,
could be.
You're preparing to make sure that there's like a
it could be
a defibrillator close in case he dies.
I don't know.
What are you talking about?
Maybe there's some weird philosophy that some coaches have when you're bringing a guy back who has an extended leave. It's better to do it at home. I don't know.
That's so ridiculous. I can't even.
I never heard anything like that.
You never heard anything like that?
No.
That's so irresponsible.
But Paul, you don't know. Andy, you say yes.
I say he plays.
I'll say yes. Just to pick
it's
one.
So ridiculous.
I mean, really? What are we basing?
Yeah. What are we basing it on? There's nothing to base it on.
He's getting better every week.
Well, that's
he was upgraded from doubtful to questionable.
But we don't
sooner or later he has to play.
I need a percentage.
I'm going to give you an 82.1% chance that he
plays. And how about Danny on the Mendola?
I'm 50-50.
I don't think you'll see him.
On Gronk. The reports today were encouraging on him. At least everybody says that he seemed to look better than last
week.
As
I said to Fred, last week he wasn't walking. As the worst they'd ever seen a person on the practice field.
Right.
He's better. Woohoo!
And most of those guys also said they didn't expect him to play. So I guess we'll take their word for it. But again... yeah, I wouldn't expect to see Amendola this week.
20%.
I know you're expecting him to come back this week.
No.
Okay.
I'm not.
I think you've said that in the past.
He's not going to be back this week.
Okay.
You're breathing heavy into the mic again.
He's
told us
sitting
to,
and having a hard time breathing
to,
yet
to
again.
To tell you when it happens, you're breathing heavy into the mic.
Am I?
Yes. I think it's your exhale through your nostrils comes right down on it or something.
Aren't you supposed to...
You're supposed to
inhale through your nostrils and exhale through your mouth. Hey, Brian Morey's here.
Woo!
The executive director of the Hall at Patriot Place. And apparently we tried to plug the speaker series with Dante Hightower Thursday night, but we didn't do a good enough job.
Well, we created interest but confusion.
So Brian felt incumbent to come down here and straighten things out. Brian Morey.
What's up, Freddie?
How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Just plug it today. Get out.
We got a big event tomorrow night, 5:30.
Big.
5:30, Dante Hightower at the Hall Speaker Series in the Raytheon Theater, 5:30 to 7:30. Like
presented by Raytheon.
It's the Raytheon Theater?
Inside the hall.
I thought it was the
Raytheon.
Hall presented by Raytheon.
Presented by Raytheon.
They also sponsor our theater.
So it's the Hall at Patriot Place presented by Raytheon.
That's correct.
In the Raytheon Theater.
That's correct.
Okay.
And there's 150 Raytheon seats.
No wonder it's confusing.
For the Raytheon speaker
series. Go ahead.
Well, if you want tickets, just go to thehallatpatriotplace.com.
Didn't we say that yesterday?
Yes.
And if you click on the link on the story, there's a link right to the page where you can buy tickets. It's through Museum Tix. It's a division of Ticketmaster. So if there's any confusion, maybe it takes you to another window. But it's through Ticketmaster.
We got a lot of emails, according to Kevin in the booth, that people couldn't figure out how to buy tickets.
Kevin, are you on the computer right now? No? Fred?
No.
Fred, why don't you log on?
I can't.
The easiest way to get tickets would be if you gave a pair away.
I could do that.
All right. So what's the qualification to win?
You guys decide. It's your show.
What number caller?
Oh, let's have a question.
Okay.
Let's have a question.
Let's see. I'll come up with one. Easy or hard? How many career tackles did Steve Nelson have? It's a pretty...
First caller to tell us how many career tackles Steve Nelson had wins two tickets to
plus,
see Dante
Hightower.
Plus,
you can look it up pretty easily, let's face it. But it's a very patriotic number.
Okay.
1776.
What kind of? Why would you give out that clue? Give another question.
How many interceptions did Steve Nelson have in his career?
How many interceptions did Steve Nelson have?
I don't know
the
answer.
Paul does.
Okay. 78?
No.
Well, stop giving out the answer. We don't know.
That's a lot for a linebacker.
All right.
Nick Bonaconte had a lot, at least in his highlights.
Brian, do you miss radio, Brian?
I just miss hanging with you guys sometimes.
Yeah,
that's funny.
I don't really miss radio, but I miss Paul and Andy Fred.
Because I know you have opinions about what's going on in the field.
He really doesn't. Because he has no idea. He can't name half
the team
anymore. He
doesn't. You should see how many times I ask him something. He's like, who's that?
Exactly. That's his common response. Who's that?
Okay.
I couldn't name 20 guys on the current roster.
Name a defensive lineman who's an undrafted rookie and among the most undrafted rookie snaps in the league this year for the Patriots.
Lovello or whatever his name is. Close? Close?
Joe Villano.
Villano.
Not terrible. Lovello. You were in the ballpark.
Who wins this weekend?
I know Vince.
Patriots or Falcons?
I think it's a very, very difficult spot for the Patriots.
Yeah.
Going on the road to Atlanta, who's coming off a road loss themselves, I think it's a difficult spot. Now, you could have said the same thing about San Francisco last week. They went to Seattle, got beat, went home, faced Indy.
That was
Indy.
A difficult spot for Indy, and Indy came up big and
popped him. So, you know, I think with the Patriots still being a little undermanned, as Paul doesn't think anyone's playing, injured guys.
No, I don't think Amendola's playing.
Well, 50-50, I mean.
That's Gronk. Yeah. Gronk, but I said yes. I'm leaning toward yes.
So it's more than 50-50.
49.
Yeah.
If Gronk comes back, what percentage is he of Gronk?
Do you think he's on a pitch count?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Probably.
I think
if he's not strong.
He hasn't played.
I don't care about that.
He's so
but
long.
I think they ask him, how do you feel?
Yeah,
and,
it's a conditioning issue, yes. If he's not ready to come back because he's not 100% from whichever ailment it is, the forearm or the back.
Reportedly the forearm.
Okay, then I don't play him.
Well,
it's only September.
I agree. Oh, no, if he's not ready, we all agree on that. He needs to be 100%.
If it's a conditioning issue, a strength issue, then I think he'll limit his snaps.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think that he's going to need to be on a pitch count because of that. I mean, it's just, what's the difference between this and, say, the first game of the season when we always see guys substituted liberally because they're coming off a preseason.
Yes.
They're not ready to play.
Then I think common sense dictates yes.
Yeah.
So I think this is going to be a tough place for the
Patriots.
But
not just because his Andy said, oh, my arm's not strong enough.
French girls.
He did look rather skinny when I saw him a few weeks ago at the Hall of Patriot Place presented by Raytheon.
Yeah, he's put on the weight.
Now, was it in the Raytheon Theater?
It's nice of you to include the presented by Raytheon now.
He was in the Grand Hall presented by Waters Corporation.
We have a Grand Hall presented by Waters? And what does Waters do? I've never heard of him.
It's a company that does some
irrigation?
No, it's like some chemistry.
Glad you really
chemistry
know it.
Type. Th- I can,
glad
it's
glad
hard
you
to
really know your sponsors.
Okay,
well.
So they could take Gatorade, pour it into a machine, and tell you what it's broken down into, every element, every ingredient, how much of each thing. It's a chemical.
So if I want to know how many calories are in Paul Perillo's pepperoni calzone, I could probably send it to them, and they would tell me.
They could probably break that down. Yes. So they do. They sell machinery for that type of stuff. They're STEM related. We're a STEM facility. We're dedicated to science, technology, engineering, and math.
Right.
We're an educational facility.
You could get more people at the hall if it was more football, though.
We have a lot of football. What do you mean?
I'm only kidding.
And if it was open all the time.
If it was open, if you weren't wandering the offices over here.
362 days a year we're open.
That's good.
What's the third?
Christmas.
Christmas, Thanksgiving,
Easter.
Now you have the Sports Illustrated.
We used to be open on Easter, but then no one came.
You have the Sports Illustrated display going on right now.
You're open on New Year's Day.
We are open on New Year's Day. We do have the Sports Illustrated exhibit. It's called the Cover Boys.
If someone hasn't been there for at least a year, what is new?
Okay, well, we have a new interactive passing and kicking game.
Yeah,
that we worked with Raytheon to develop. In fact, where you can input data and try to make a field goal or complete a pass. We do have the Sports Illustrated exhibit, so it's called the Cover Boys. The Patriots on the cover of Sports Illustrated features more than 50 SI covers and compares Brady to the great Boston sports athletes like Bird, Russell, Orr, Marvin Hagler.
Right,
Perillo.
It's got all 17 covers that Brady has been featured on, plus artifacts to go with each and some game-used memorabilia. So it's a pretty cool exhibit. It's got a huge wall with a lot of the covers on it. We broke them down by category. So you got your defense covers. You got before, really, the Patriots started.
And you get a poster of all that if you come, right?
You do not get a poster.
Oh, that
of
would
all
be
that.
A good idea if you did that.
Thanks, Fred. Thanks for your input. We also have a very cool new feature.
He makes me feel guilty because I'm sort of making light of some of the things we joke about, and I think he wants to get a real serious update of them. And then he comes back with that.
Right.
Well, I could start making fun of the Game Day app, but I won't do that to Fred because I know he's put a lot into it.
That's okay.
But they also, when you walk off the elevator now into our exhibit galleries, you come through a helmet tunnel just like the players.
Right.
So it's that's actually a really cool photo opportunity.
We don't know how much Gronk will help it.
We have some kids that they come off and they run through it with their fingers.
And you still hear, you hear the cleats and everything.
You hear everything. That's Brady talking. You get Crazy Train. And
right.
John
I actually
Rook.
Heard that our red recliners are over there.
Your red recliners are over there.
Is that an exhibit? Now these are the actual
seats
that Andy and Paul sat in.
Wait, these are from your Bob's studio.
Yeah,
yes. You're in the Bob's studio.
This is the Bob's.
This is it.
Bob's Discount Furniture.
This is where
studios.
You guys were for the preseason games
inside Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
In that corner.
We got some. The Totally Patriots uses them for their for the segment they tape with the player.
Now, do they know how
what's
special
that guy's
it
name?
Is?
That comes over. I don't even know the guy's name that comes over and tapes that. It's not Sean Hassett anymore.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I don't know what you're
Totally Patriots. You don't watch Totally Patriots?
Isn't it a radio guy?
I was on it once.
Pebbles? Is it Pebbles?
I don't know who it
Pebbles.
Is.
Pebbles.
What?
Emilio
Ramiro?
Or something?
Emilio Earhart?
What are we talking
Romero?
About?
Romero.
Romero. Oh,
okay. Romero is on Totally Patriots?
But when you said Pebbles, I was like...
Oh, is that okay. his name, Romero?
From Romero 94.5?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't listen to that station.
I'm not surprised.
Well, it's for kids, right?
No, the station's
Romero?
Not.
94.5, is that hip hop? My kids listen to that. That and Fun 107.
I didn't know Romero was on that. I listen to Fun 107.
Do you?
All right, so good. All right, well, that's great, Brian.
Okay, go.
Things are really happening.
So, what else you got?
Good to see. Things are happening for you, Brian.
What's going on with PFW?
We do have a call. Jeff in Vegas is calling in. Jeff, do you have the answer to the question?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
That wasn't the question.
Before we get to that, guys, I'd just like to say, as I've been listening to PFW in Progress for about 12 or 13 years now, it's good to hear Brian's voice from time to time, especially without the constant chiding and disrespect from Eric with a K Scalabino.
Oh,
wow.
That was, Jeff, you make a good point. That was uncomfortable that day.
Yeah, I almost went over the studio table. He apologized for that, by the way.
Did he really?
He thought he knew that he was kidding and...
He wasn't kidding.
I almost had to take him out.
When Eric's not with us, he gets very, I don't know what you'd call it, cocky.
Where does that stem from?
I don't know, but when he's with us, he's very demure. But when he's not with us,
demure.
Well, does Paul intimidate
cock
him?
Cock and take.
Maybe.
Me?
Yeah.
It's him.
No, it's him.
Me?
Yeah. We all pointed
at someone else. I pointed at Andy. Andy pointed at Fred.
No. Andy makes fun of him the most. Paul takes these subtle jabs that hurt a lot, and then he looks to Fred to like make them stop.
Right,
and that's what happens. And Fred does like Fred's
Kevin,
the dad, and he's like, grow up.
Perhaps right. Your first contribution to the show, right there.
That's a very accurate assessment. Paul is very passive aggressive.
Oh,
and Andy's just an a-hole.
You can drop the passive on that. I can be aggressive.
Well,
on
you try
show.
To be subtle. You try to take subtle little digs, and they can be a little painful.
Andy just calls people names, whereas I just disagree with people. There's a difference.
Right. Yeah, well, that last appearance was sort of like a Bill Belichick-Michael Holly friction as far as uncomfortability goes.
Mm. Yeah.
I thought they were tight.
Oh, no.
Well, I think they are, but they're not.
Holly did, too.
The chemistry isn't doesn't show through on their interviews.
On Patriots Monday?
Yeah.
Oh, what was that?
Andy. Yeah, that was really weird. On to Gronk, where's the follow-up story? You had this info come out on game day. Has anyone seen Gronk? Is there some sort of setback with the arm, or is it just the arm, not the back?
Well, I talked with one media member today who will not be named, who thought it was the most ridiculous report ever. And this person covers the team very closely. The report itself was ambiguous. It said that it's not the back, it's the forearm.
It's not the
and,
is it his back, is
and,
his leg, is
you know,
the back
that could
leg?
Mean anything from... Who knows what it could mean?
Could be bone structure.
Yeah.
It could be muscle.
It could be just a natural thing. Well, yeah, it's not 100% as strong as it used to be. You know.
And like most crap sheet reports, it probably wasn't 100% accurate.
Right. So it was a very ambiguous report.
There's nothing passive aggressive about that. That's aggressive.
And,
yeah, but
you know,
he's not here to defend himself.
Seeing Gronk in the locker room, you don't see any type of wrap. You don't see anything on the arm ever. So I don't know. It's really no way to tell really what that report meant.
Well, we'll know if when he travels or not, essentially.
True.
I would imagine.
Yeah, if he doesn't travel.
I mean, if he plays?
No, yeah. If he's on the team playing.
No, if he doesn't travel, he's not going to play.
No, that's what I'm saying. But we'll know about his arm.
Play in the game if you're not
there.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we'll know if his arm is okay, or we'll know if he's playing. That's two different things.
If he gets on the bus, Saturday, then he's going to play.
Right. Well, but again, that's not going to tell us about the arm.
The next step would be,
that's
if
not
he
necessarily
plays,
true.
Yeah, it's not 100%
no,
true.
But everyone, but you get the report, and the first thing you think is, oh, the arm is keeping him from playing.
Correct.
And
you'll know that
if he
Saturday.
Gets on the bus on Saturday, he's going to play.
Wow, he just goes through the
I don't know.
Semantics,
I don't know how you can determine that he's definitely going to play if he makes the trip.
Guys that don't play don't travel.
Guys that don't have a chance to play don't travel. Guys who have a chance to play travel.
If he's truly 50-50, I would expect him to be traveling.
But also, the next if they want to be coy about whether or not he's going to be inactive or not, they take him on the trip so they don't have to report him on Saturday.
Indeed. But the next step, I would say, is do we see it wrapped? Will it be something added to it to strengthen it, whatever it may be?
And that was my point. If he plays, doesn't necessarily mean the arm's not an issue.
Right.
Like it was last time.
Exactly.
But you really think they take the chance of playing him with a less than...
We've never seen
that. When was the last time you saw something like that?
Right. And will they ever do it again?
I would say no, but you
never know. When he played with his arm strapped to his side against Miami in the last game of the season last year? Brian Moore is looking at us like, what are you talking about?
Do you not even watch the games?
I watched the game. I didn't see his arm strapped to his side.
Oh, my God. You got to watch it. I've never seen anything like it. A guy,
when he re-broke it?
No, the game before that. I've never seen a guy protect an injury like he did, like literally shield it.
I just don't remember. Itself, guys, I think you've got the whole country here waiting to pounce. This is going to be one of these signature spots where the entire country is sort of rooting and hoping that this is a chink in the Patriots dynasty. I think... It was a game a few years ago, the Jets, the game against at St. Louis a few years ago when Vinatieri had the touchdown pass, where everyone is just waiting and they're saying this is the time when it finally falls apart.
That was 9 years ago.
Yeah, and I don't think this game is being looked upon like that. You think if the Patriots lose this game, people look at it as a chink in the Patriots' armor?
No, Paul, they're waiting for New England to have to go up against a former...
Oh, yeah. No, I agree with that. I'm with you 100%, Jeff, right there. They haven't been tested, and people are waiting to see what kind of team this is.
But even that, I think, is almost a three-game stretch more than the...
Yeah, I think...
They could have been good and lost this game at Atlanta, even if they're good.
And I think the St. Louis game, and given their... All the injuries.
Right.
People were just expecting them to get killed.
Right. Right.
Not that they didn't think they were a good team.
They just thought they're
missing too many guys. They're going to get killed.
Right.
I
was part of that.
Yeah.
Group,
I don't look at
Troy
this
Brown,
one the same way.
That was Troy Brown's debut in the defensive backfield.
I think I lost my binoculars that day.
I think you did as
was
well.
That, was that really
still there,
years
you know.
Ago?
What's that, Jeff?
Was that really 9 years ago?
Yeah, 2004.
Yeah. Oh, I'm dating myself. But no, the whole country.
So is Eric.
I was going to say it's more than I could say for Eric. But
that's good. I got to hand that one to you.
Easy.
The whole Patriots Nation hater general public are going to be salivating, just hoping that New England gets creamed on a Sunday night. I saw Andy's tweet. It's up to -2 now that New England is getting 2 points. So it's going to be interesting, guys.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
All right, Jeff. Thanks for the call.
So what do you guys think about this game
the same way Jeff is?
I think people have
a lot of questions about the Atlanta Falcons right now. And
that
I think,
they didn't have 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, and I think the people are wondering just how good the Patriots defense is.
Right.
I think that's the national test. The national scope is, okay, they beat up on some bad offenses. What can they do against some good offenses?
Right.
And we're going to see that the next 3 weeks.
Right.
Everybody always wants to apply some dramatic, great meaning
to
an individual game. The New York Giants were 5-5 in 2007 when the Patriots were going on a 18-0 run. Right now, the Patriots are working on improving from week to week, trying to figure things out on offense.
Right.
They may not be, you know, they have to watch Miami, obviously. Miami's a factor now that maybe you didn't think they were.
That might be the only difference between this year and other years, and people are focusing on the offense. But the fact that Miami's not 1-2 right now, like they usually are, and they usually have
a two-game
lead by now, or, you know,
I'm exaggerating, they beat two pretty good teams. So,
you can see the end of the road that. These guys won't be a factor. Miami's going to be a factor this year.
Buffalo and the Jets periodically over the last couple of years have had a game in the first, say, 6 weeks of the season where if they had won it, they'd have been in first place like a game or two ahead of the Patriots. I think Buffalo had one. They would have been 2 games ahead of the Patriots last year. Were we 1-2?
Well, it wasn't. Yeah.
Lost to Arizona.
We were 1-2 when we played week 4 in Buffalo. If Buffalo had won it, they would have had a 2-game lead.
Right.
And they were up by 3 touchdowns, weren't they? Something like that.
Yeah.
Didn't they get up big early in the first half?
No.
That wasn't the game where they
No, it was the other way around.
Oh, okay.
The Patriots lost a game that they were 21-0 up 2 years ago in Buffalo.
Oh, okay. That's what it was. See, I confused them.
But it wasn't too long ago when Buffalo started the season like 5-0. You know?
Right, with Fitzgerald.
Yeah. Right.
Fitzpatrick.
But I got that's what I meant. Harvard guy.
And then he signed an extension and
they started the season 5-0 with
Fitzpatrick.
I'm not
sure it was 5-0, but
I'm not sure that's
it was
accurate.
A good start. He signed his extension.
They've had a couple of decent starts. But very early they've lost a game and the Patriots have gotten the stranglehold by the middle of October. The Patriots have had a stranglehold on first place and no one's been able to threaten them. Maybe to Brian's point about Miami, two pretty good wins out of the three games. Maybe this year that they're ready to stick around at least.
Yeah.
And I'm still not believing.
I would say this. I think the Patriots need to keep their head above water until Thanksgiving and then be healthy for the stretch run. And not if they don't lose a game after Thanksgiving, they'll be in the playoffs. And then from there, you know, I mean, look at as we learn over and over again, whether it's, the Music City Miracle or last year, the Super Bowl champions were essentially out in Denver. 70 yards away, 30 seconds to go, no timeouts. They're done. That game's over. And they find a way, they go on to win the Super Bowl. So I just think it's about, you know, how the Patriots play after Thanksgiving, improving from week to week. Obviously, there's going to be some growing pains with this offense.
Yep. I agree with all that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at it.
But people will panic this week if they lose one. See, they stink. They can't beat a good team.
He's the king of the straw man argument.
Yeah.
You guys, he argues before things happen a lot. Did you ever notice that?
I learned it from you.
I don't know about that.
Well, look, if the Patriots offense struggles, scores less than 21 points, will anybody be shocked? And I'm assuming Amendola's not playing and Gronk's not. You know, it's the same cast of characters.
Well, I would against this defense.
Really?
They should score some points. Well, indoors against this defense, they should score some
points. They should be in the 20s.
Yeah, I agree.
So let me ask you guys a question. How good do you think the Patriots' defense is right now?
I don't know.
You don't have an opinion?
I think they're better than they were last year at this time, no doubt.
Yes, I agree with that 100,000%.
Yeah, how about are they better than they were last year when they finished the season with Tlaib? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know that.
I think they might
because the addition of Tlaib is no question helped them.
Right.
A healthy Chandler Jones? Wasn't he nicked up at the end of last year?
Yeah, he's playing.
But if you're assuming the same trend that every year the defense gets better as the season goes on, their starting point is higher than it has been in the last three, four years.
That's what I don't know.
How much of that has to do with the fact that you played two rookie quarterbacks out of the gate,
and then
a guy who's going to lose his job in the next 3 weeks?
Already did.
And
did?
Yeah, he's not playing on Sunday.
And they're seeking a trade.
I'm going to wait and see what happens against
the worst quarterbacks in football.
You know, five, six games and see what they do against some of these teams. You know, different kinds of teams with different kinds of offenses. Right now they've played the same offense 3 weeks in a row, a bad one.
And if John Gruden's doing the game, he'll just praise the quarterback for completing a pass.
To the Patriots' credit, they've played well. They have played well. I mean, they made bad teams look bad, and that's what you need to do. And there have been times in the recent past where they didn't make bad teams look bad.
Right.
Offensively.
So I think the starting point is better, but we don't know how they're going to be against the team that has legitimate threats.
Will we know after the next 3 weeks?
What?
Will we know after the next 3 weeks? Julio Jones, A.J. Green, the Saints.
We'll have a much better idea. Absolutely.
But that said, they have no depth. And you talked about how healthy they are. That's true. If they ever reach a point on defense, in my opinion, where they're banged up, they're in trouble. Because I don't think they have any depth at all.
I mean,
anywhere.
Two guys in particular. Well, I'll say three guys. Jones, Ninkovich, Tlaib. What do you do if you lose like two out of three of those guys?
All of a sudden, Jake Beckett's a starter.
You know, you got Michael Buchanan and Jake Beckett. Your next two candidates at defensive end. I don't know.
Why is that the case?
And they cut him
because.
Isn't that the whole point of having a middle class on your roster?
Andy's going to make fun of me for this.
Very critical.
Andy's going to make fun of me for this because it's going to be very contradictory to my.
Now is it going to be very very contradictory?
He knew exactly where I was going. You know, Jermaine Cunningham should be a guy that if Chandler Jones got hurt, you'd be able to rely on as a quality third defensive end. He ain't here no more. He should be. Second-round pick, 4 years ago? He should be in the prime of his career as the third-best pass rusher on your team.
Is
at
he in
worst.
The league?
What about Steve Beauharnais?
Is he in the league?
He's a middle linebacker.
Steve Beauharnais.
Is Cunningham still playing?
No.
Or is he home?
Well, he's hurt, so I don't know exactly what
his
status
is. None of the Patriots
How
did
he get hurt? He didn't play.
He got hurt in the training camp.
Yeah. Oh. He missed all of camp.
Him and Rozai Dowling.
He worked out for somebody. Houston and Kansas City worked
did
him
he,
out.
Did he get hurt working out?
Yeah. Don't be mean.
I'm just saying.
Injuries are not something to be poked fun at.
What did he
but it's okay, it's okay that he can make fun of people who aren't here to defend themselves. I can't take a shot
well,
at
Crabtree. Well, listen, I mean, that's a player who, that was media on media crime.
Well, I think that's legit.
Why is that not okay? Well, Paul and I have this
he's
discussion.
Probably right down the hall. Just tell him to come down and sit in.
Our job is to criticize players for their inabilities. And other media members are public figures.
Your job is to criticize it or just assess it?
Assess it, but criticize when needed.
Critique.
Critique. Is a professional whose job puts him in the public spotlight. Why should I not be able to critique him when he blows at his job?
Why does he do what you said?
What?
Why is he not good at his job?
Because he knows very little about the game of football.
Who are we talking about?
Wow.
Crapsheet. He's terrible. But anyway.
Knows as little about football as any reporter I've ever come across.
Wow. You guys are tough.
Well, I mean, it is what it is. Again, though, why is it not okay? Like, it's okay for him to criticize
the Your job isn't to critique the media.
No,
your job
but,
is to critique the football players.
No, but we're not saying that's our job. But, like, when someone.
Our job is to cover the Patriots.
Fairly, by the way.
If he has a crap sheet type report that regards the Patriots, our job is then to react to said report.
And if someone writes something or has a report about something, I don't understand why are we not allowed to comment on it?
And if we
disagree with the premise of something,
but
it
sounds kind of personal. That
no,
way.
Yeah,
it's
I hate it.
Well, let's say we were doctors and we had a patient, and one doctor has a diagnosis. As another doctor, I can give a diagnosis that's not the same based on my professional opinion.
But if I just sat
and then grab a microphone and say, Dr. Johnson sucks at his job.
Yeah, and I'm not allowed to say, you know, they call him Dr. Infection, so I wouldn't go there.
Yeah, but it's not a public forum either. It's a little bit different.
We're in
but
the media.
I get, this is a media thing. We're on talk radio.
Sports entertainment.
The NFL Network put out a couple of stories over the weekend pertaining to the Patriots. I think it's certainly within our realm of responsibility to comment on it.
Who does he work for now?
NFL Network. Oh, okay. The thing about Gronk's arm, in the which we talked about yesterday, in the Brady texting thing, which we talked about yesterday.
What was the Brady texting?
If we think it was a silly argument a silly report, and we had information to dispute it, we can't attack that report. Now I agree with Brian. We don't have to make it. We don't have to attack the source of the report, but we can say, listen, this is a guy who often is throwing stuff out there like this, and we very often have seen when the results come in that it's been wrong. So I'm not going to take what Ian Rappaport says with a grain of salt. Now, Andy and I don't like him. We make no secret about that.
Does he know?
We don't like him. Does Ian know? Yeah.
Oh, God, okay. Yeah.
He asked us, he asked me specifically to stop making fun of him on this show.
How's that working out for him?
I stopped for a whole year. Andy wouldn't stop.
So he listens to the show?
Well, he used to anyway when he was
I thought it was Twitter.
What did Brady do? What did I miss with Brady?
No, there was a report that Brady had reached out to Lloyd.
I thought you were a super fan.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw that. I saw that. Okay.
And Brady said, I haven't talked to them in a while. So.
And that was on that was the rap sheet?
And Silver.
Michael Silver.
That was a co-report.
Oh, jeez, Michael Silver.
Brady's buddy.
Wait, you shouldn't say that. That's unprofessional.
Is that the guy from SI?
Yeah, he works for
NFL
Network.
Well, now he works for NFL Network, too.
Well, I had an incident with him. I had an incident with him.
He can get so much on his high horse. He can get on his high horse, and then he goes, oh, Michael Silver.
I had an incident with him. That pissed me off.
Ross Idowling, did he get hurt during the workout?
Oh, wait a minute. Ross Idowling. Now, Fred Kirsch taught me when I was a young reporter here at Patriots Football Weekly that if you're going to criticize someone, you should be able to defend yourself. I think you can criticize Ross Idowling for never being on the field. I don't know what his injuries were.
Well,
he was never on the field in college, apparently, either.
I can defend all the shots I take at all the various media guys.
But is that a criticizable offense? Getting hurt?
Well, I mean, at some point you have
to
wonder if it's a toughness issue. What were the injuries?
Now you crossed the line. If he's actually hurt, it's not a toughness issue. He's injured.
I don't know if he's hurt or injured.
So now you're questioning his makeup, his credibility as a person.
So you don't know.
Well, I don't know.
Thank you very much.
I don't know.
So you
thank you, Mike Vrabel.
So you owe an apology to Ross Idowling?
No.
Oh. I got to go do a locker room interview.
Really?
You do?
Thank you, Mike.
We got Brandon Bolden.
I believe that's the target today.
Who do you guys think would be good for the next speaker series?
Paul Perillo.
We've done. You know, several of the guys already have come
over. Bob Soucy and Zolak.
You can't afford me.
Do you think Bob Soucy and Zolak would be a good speaker series?
Sure.
Actually, no. I Soucy hasn't been around long enough yet.
Well, you definitely need Zolak in that mix.
Book them for 10 years from now.
At Soucy's Hall of Fame induction.
Will you still be here 10 years from now?
How about assistant coaches? Yes. Do you get assistant coaches?
No.
Going back to the 40s, Paul.
Have you seen Zolak's clay Clay used car ad that he does.
Oh.
Zolak.
I was like, Zolak does a commercial?
Yeah, I did
on TV?
Too.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, he's Zoe here. You know, everybody knows Zoe. He doesn't have to say his whole name. And he's like, oh, he's
did
like
he have the
crack.
Gravelly? Did he have the gravelly
oh, yeah.
voice going?
Oh, absolutely.
Unicorns and show ponies.
Yeah. And I have some good stories.
Oh, speaking of crack, did you guys watch any of the Lawrence Taylor Showtime
show? I have not seen it yet. I've heard
some of it's
I've heard
really
some good,
good
things about
I
it.
I didn't watch all of it, but my.
Did you watch the Manning one?
No.
Zoe's a good really man. He's a good supporter of the Hall of Patriot Place.
But LT, when he got suspended for drugs, 4 games,
he was set up.
He was talking about how, you know, people have been paying other people to pee in their cup for years. And then he goes, they didn't catch me with that one. I just picked the wrong guy to have change pee with. He goes, had they used my pee, I'd still be suspended for what was in it.
Oh, my God.
He got caught
with someone else's pee.
With someone else's pee.
LT?
That's a kick in the stones.
Don't they watch
like
you pee?
Right.
But don't they watch you pee? Isn't that the whole point
of
the
will not be joining us in Africa.
It wasn't a very
your menopausal
legit drug program.
I had a friend in college who taped a bag of urine to the bottom of his foot for his physical.
Who did that?
I can't name names. Atsu.
What do you mean taped a bottom of the urine to his
he thought
foot?
It was going for his physical, and he thought he was going to get drug tested, so he taped a bottle. He had like a Ziploc bag with somebody else's urine in it. He taped it to the bottom of his foot. So
how do
he
you
was,
walk?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He just pissed your shoot out everywhere.
And then when
pretty,
he walked
when
in,
pissed,
pretty confident with that Ziploc.
Like and you had to hold your leg way up here to piss.
All they
piss
did
was on your foot.
All they did was test the pH of that. I was like, dude, they're not drug testing you. They watch you pee when they do that.
But, yeah.
So.
All right.
All right. Bye, Paul. Bye, Brian.
I'll be back soon.
All right. Paul has to go. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Toll free, it's 855-PATS-500 if you want to call in. And now that Brian's gone, I don't even know the answer to the Steve Nelson question. How many career interceptions?
It's okay, no one called to answer it.
Kevin, you'll have to look that up just in case someone wants.
Whoever calls in, we just give it to him.
I think so many of our listeners are from not
Australia.
This area.
So many people
yeah.
podcast.
Yeah, you're not going to fly in from Sweden to go see Dante Hightower tomorrow night. No disrespect to Dante Hightower, but it's kind of a trek, you know.
Yes, from Sweden, it is kind of a trek.
You know? Ryan in Indiana says, Andy was right. Been a listener and a subscriber to PFW for years and always look forward to your broadcasts. Email would be football related. However, it ends up being food related for the most part. I just wanted to thank Andy for the insightful comments on how to put together a good plate of nachos. A couple weeks ago on PFW in Progress, he mentioned mixing two kinds of cheese. I believe one being shredded and the other the cheese whiz category. I tried that out last night and it really made the nachos everything I hoped they could be and more. So there you go.
You're welcome.
A little cooking tip here. Also, a quick question on Dobson and Tompkins. Now that the trust appears to be growing, do you think we can expect some more balls to be thrown further down the field on Sunday night against Atlanta? If so, I would think this could help out our running game as well.
Well, first of all, they've gone down the field to those guys. Certainly 2 weeks ago, they did it a number of times against the Jets. And I don't want to be like Mr. Negative, but is everything fixed? Is like the Band-Aid completely stuck on that wound? And I mean, Tompkins caught 3 of 7 passes thrown his way. There were still...
Yeah, 2 of them were Brady's fault, the misses.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know, but
yep.
Is that just totally...
No, it's still Fred, a work in progress.
Go back and look at what Peyton Manning did. And I know we don't want to get into this big comparison, but Peyton Manning's statistics from the other night, every receiver was like one less catch than target.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
That's what Brady used to do. You know, that's when this offense is clicking and going. It's Brady going
it's
32
efficient.
Of 38.
It's efficient.
And no receiver has more than 2 passes that he didn't catch
right.
that were thrown his way.
It's efficient.
So we're not to that point
unless
yet.
It was Brandon Lloyd last year.
Right. Well, right. You'd love to have Brandon Lloyd back. You know how we said, oh, you caught 74 passes on 140 attempts or whatever? Tompkins is going to have to go a long way till he gets in that even 50% range.
Yeah, but they're going the right direction.
They are, and I fully believe that they. You know, you talked about the defense getting better. I fully believe that these young receivers will be better. A, because of natural progression, and B, when Gronk or Amendola, when there's some help around them.
Let's see, no, this is for John. He said, "Hey, John." So I'm not going to read it. Okay. Neil. In England says, hey, Fred, Andy, Paul, Eric, any idea when Danny Danny, am I injured, will return. No, it's Danny on the Mendola. I think we'll need him on Sunday against the Falcons. Thanks for all the fun you give us during the week. My son and I download the podcast every week and are always texting each other about the things you say. I've been a Pats fan since the 1985 AFC Championship game that took the Patriots to the Super Bowl versus the Bears. I think you are right. Most Pats fans are spoiled a bit, like the Manchester United fans here at home. They lost 4-1 to arch rival Manchester City last weekend, and sports radio has been full of their fans bitching because they lost. It is sports. You have to take the wins with the losses. Saying that it has been great to follow the Patriots this last decade with General Bill and Captain Tom Terrific at the helm, and hopefully we will have some more Super Bowl rings to enjoy in the near future. Once again, thanks for keeping us entertained during the year.
Need Amendola Sunday? Because that implies, like, you can't win or you're in big trouble if he doesn't play.
I think they do.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You know what we haven't been asking you enough? What? Are you mentally prepared to lose this football game?
We'll talk about that tomorrow. Okay. On Thursday when we do our picks.
So you think they need Amendola?
I do.
So therefore you think they're going to lose. Must not think that you're picking against them?
We'll talk about that on Thursday.
Oh, my God.
We'll talk about that
it's
on
over.
Thursday.
The run was fun, but it's over. You're picking against them in a random week four game.
I didn't say that, but just for the record, I have picked against the Patriots before and been burned when I've done it.
Have you picked against them and been right?
I don't think so.
It's very rare.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a few times, but.
Yeah. I don't think so. They don't lose much. So,
right.
You know. Very straightforward question from Thomas. Why aren't the Patriots utilizing Josh Boyce?
I have a very straightforward answer. I don't know. No, he was behind the whole time. The whole time. He was always sort of the third guy that was squeezed in there, rotated in there, whatever you want to call it. And I've envisioned him all along from day one as a shot play guy. Like he'd get some chances to go deep, some end arounds, that kind of stuff. I don't know why those have been almost non-existent. You know, he was out there in some of the four receiver sets the other day, but they don't throw him the ball hardly at all. I think he's only got a couple targets in three games.
Right.
We haven't seen an end around in the first three regular season games, I don't believe. And I don't know why that is exactly. You'd think with Amendola out, he's automatically bumped up a slot on the depth chart that, you know, he'd get a couple. And Paul's right. The Jets game, they were running some deep routes. They were getting behind him a little bit. And Bill just said it was the way it worked out that he never got his chance to go in there and do that.
No.
I just think he's not quite ready.
Yeah, I don't think that, though, you know, they're like, oh, we can't use him yet. I just think, like you said, it just hasn't worked out yet. He is behind on the depth chart. But I think that they have plans for him. I think they expect him to contribute this year.
I hope so. Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
they don't have a lot of options in that area.
I'm pretty sure.
But I also think some of it could have to do with just...
Kevin, could I get a water? Thanks.
Clearly, Tompkins and Dobson are your guys that you're developing. Those are going to be your guys, main guys. And every rep you take away from them is a rep they've lost with
Thank
Brady
you, sir.
That maybe they need. And yeah. It's just... He's not quite ready. They don't want to force him. The other guys need the reps. You put it all together, and he doesn't get a lot of PT. I'd like to see it, though. I think he has playmaking speed that I'd like to see.
Yeah.
Handful of times. Just give him chances.
Mark and Cheddar writes in. Hey, guys, and Eric. I haven't emailed in for a few months as I was in America over the summer and could never listen live.
I don't understand that. People listen when they're far away, and a lot of these people come visit us, and they stop listening. Is there so little going on in, like, the foreign countries that they are stuck listening to us?
Well, I guess you're just busy. You're here. You're vacationing. You're not.
But if you're here for months, you have an iPhone. You have an iPod. You download the podcast, and you have some time to listen.
But
it just doesn't seem to make sense.
If you're with your family, are you listening to radio?
I would never be listening to us, but I'm a different guy.
No, anything else, too.
Yeah, I don't do anything when I'm with my family. I'm with my family.
Like, if you're on vacation, do you watch TV?
Nope.
Right.
I don't watch TV. I don't. Listen to talk radio. I don't do anything. I like to fall out of the loop. I appreciate that.
There is one aspect from the Bucs game which I'm struggling to understand. Most people have been saying how good a job Tlaib did against Jackson. I don't get it. He only played the first half through injury. If he wasn't injured, you could reasonably assume that he would have equaled his output in the second half, and because the Bucs were playing catch-up, probably seen even more opportunities. I feel if it wasn't for injury, you could make a fair argument that he would have finished with 7 receptions for 90 yards and a touchdown.
How did that happen?
Would you agree? If that is what he was on for, did Tlaib really do a great job?
Well, how did 3 for 34 turn into 7 for 90-something, if you're doubling it?
Yeah.
Shouldn't it be 6 for 68? And, by the way, 6 for 68 is not a great day for a top elite receiver like Jackson. And if you have 2 interceptions, because if we're doubling everything, he had a pick at the end of the first half, we'll give him another pick in the second because we're doubling everything, then he has 6 for 68 and picked off 2 passes. That's a decent day. I think you'll take that with a guy manned up. Now, if you argue to me Jackson catches that bomb and has a touchdown, that changes the complexion of everything, right?
Yep.
Okay. He was competitive. I like the word Bill often uses in those matchups. Very competitive matchup.
Yep.
That means, you know, you were fighting it out. You're a good corner. He's an elite receiver.
Right. And you're going to win some. He's going to win some.
And you just hope that the ones that he wins are, you know, a 12-yard in cut.
Right.
That doesn't hit a big play, doesn't score a touch. You know, whatever. You try to keep him out of the end zone and out of the big plays.
Brad from Australia.
Hi, Mike.
I'm wondering if you could help me with a bit of football terminology, seeing as I've only been following the NFL for a couple of years, and I'm still trying to learn as much as I can. I've heard terms such as West Coast offense and dink and dunk and so on and so forth. Please explain to me what the West Coast offense style is and perhaps a couple of teams that use it and maybe the opposite of it, or maybe even a few different schemes teams and coaches use, which the Pats are most suited to. Please explain to me what nickel defense is and dime and where each is applicable. Well, we're not going to get into the whole thing, but just we'll start with West Coast.
West Coast offense is a passing attack, comes from the Bill Walsh school. It's a lot of timing throws, short throws, you know, drags underneath, crossing, slants, things of that nature.
It's a really rhythmic offense where the high percentage turns the pass into like runs.
Right.
So, you know, it almost replaces running the ball a lot. You do these short, quick passes, and the routes that the players use are usually they're not what they call vertical.
Right.
You know,
they're the low ones on the number tree. 1 to 9, you're talking 1, 2s, 3s, 4s, the low numbers. And the Patriots offense, dink and dunk, is sort of an offshoot of that. Dink and dunk is a sort of a derogatory term that's used, a tone term, for a short passing attack that doesn't really stretch the field, doesn't really make a lot of plays, you know, little screens, the tight end, crossing patterns. So there's some carryover, I would say, there. But, you know, West Coast offense, Andy Reid is a West Coast guy right now with Kansas City. Trying to think who else is a true West Coast offense. The problem is it's been hybridized. I don't know if that's a word, but there's a lot of kind of mixing of systems. I would say the Patriots are a hybrid offense. They're not a true West Coast offense, but I think they have some elements of a West Coast offense mixed with a lot of other things. Nickel is 5 defensive backs, dime is 10. I mean, 6. And you use those in passing situations where you take defensive linemen and linebackers off the field. You want to have an extra corner, an extra safety out there to cover receivers, and you know, it's usually long yardage type situations.
Chad wants to know, can we get back to predicting matchups? I'd like to know what you guys will think will happen with or without 87. So predicting matchups.
I don't know what that means. The key matchups in this game?
I guess.
Well, we said one earlier, Chandler Jones on the left tackle, whether it's Baker or Holmes. I think he needs to have an impact in this game. I think he needs to, and again, we always talk about it. It's not just sacks, it's pressure. It's being around. It's being active and making Matt Ryan a little bit uncomfortable.
You think Tlaib goes one-on-one with Jones?
I have no idea. I think it's a dangerous game if you play that, because I think Jones right now is a better receiver than Vincent Jackson. I think he's a more explosive receiver. I think Vincent Jackson, I think Julio Jones can turn short plays into big plays, or he can run by you, outfight you for the ball, and have a deep ball for a big play. I think he really challenges a defensive back. It would be ideal. Because with Tony Gonzalez and Harry Douglas and Roddy White, if you could just take away or have a competitive matchup with Tlaib and Jones, I think that would be huge. Paul, as he said yesterday, scared to death of it. He would not do it. And that's one of those decisions. That's why Bill Belichick makes, you know, $7-8 million a year. That's a key decision in this football game that I won't even pretend to predict at this point. Gronk makes a huge difference. Offensively, you're talking about matchups. Gronk makes a huge difference. He gives you a weapon that
they need to account for on every play, the old cliche. And as we talked about in the red zone, you're probably talking about doubling him. Even if you don't know if he's, you know, 60% Gronk, 70% Gronk, whatever it is, you can't take the chance, because all of a sudden you take the chance and he's got two touchdowns and he's the key player for the Patriots. That should theoretically help every other receiver, every other player on the field.
Andrew in the UK writes in Ukraine.
Why'd you trail on
Ukraine? Just a quick over-under. Games remaining in which the Patriots will be the underdog. 4.5. I'd have to look at the schedule. I mean,
and we'll do just that. Underdogs. So
it's on the window, too.
Cincinnati. After this is at Cincinnati. That game will be very much relative to what happens in this game.
That could be a push.
And I mean, if the Patriots lay an egg and people go, oh, yeah, they really did,
they'll be underdogs again.
Hosting New Orleans, I think they'll be favored. At the Jets, they'll be favored. Hosting the Dolphins,
they should be favored.
That one could depend on how the next few weeks play out, though.
Right.
If you lose three in a row, say, if you lose these three tough games, that Dolphins game, you could be a push or very close to a pick 'em. You'll be favored over the Steelers. At Carolina, again, depends on how things roll out, but I think it could be a slight favorite down there, you know, a 2-3 point favorite. Denver here, I think you're going to be an underdog to the Denver Broncos because they score a lot of points. At Houston, that'll depend significantly. They're not playing well right now, and the Patriots have a long way to go. Browns favored. At Miami, we'll see. At Baltimore, we'll see. And favored for Buffalo. So there's probably three or four games where you could be an underdog the rest
could
of the
way. Could be, yep. Games remaining in which the Patriots will be double-digit favorites.
Double-digit favorites.
And he's got the over-under at 1.5.
I am going to say...
Again, it depends.
I'll take the over.
It so much depends on what the state of affairs are at the time, but, you know, the Bills and the Jets could be two
Bills,
of those games.
Bills, Jets, Steelers could be, yeah. Browns could be. So there's like four options right there. I'll say two
I'll
of
say
them.
Over.
Yeah, because you're going to get half those.
Right. Also, can you find something obscure for Eric to do all the time and keep Brian as his replacement? It's
wow.
Nice to have people who know something about football.
That's how bad Eric is? They want Brian back? Because everybody
wow.
hated Brian when he was here.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
What would Eric... What is that? What is that squeaking?
I'm not doing anything. Why are you looking at me?
What would Eric think if people thought Brian knew more about football than
it
him?
It would really bother him. Yeah. It would really
so
bother
we need to tell him.
Because they have a little issue. I know it was all, you know, we were just kidding. And you were just, they weren't, neither of them was just kidding. There yeah. was a little animosity between the two when they yeah. were on together.
So what we need to do is, Eric, what time will Eric be on?
How the hell will I know?
He'll be on it.
Locker room till 12, till 1:15, 1:30.
So starting at 1:30. We need to have some calls and emails about how, wow, it was great to have Brian here. And
that
you know,
would be good.
Yeah.
We do need those. Send your calls and emails in 1:30 about how much better Brian was, how much more he knew about football than
right,
Eric.
Right.
That'll be good.
Yeah.
He's going to cry.
It's all right.
If he yeah. goes postal, I'm ducking.
Let's see. Med Venlik Hilsen says, oh, it's really Christian. yes, you're supposed to breathe in through your nose since this cleans and warms the air.
I know they tell you that specifically like when you're running or if you have a cramp or something, in
right.
through the nose, out through the mouth.
But they always say, close your mouth. Don't walk around with your mouth open.
Well, you only have to open it
you
to
look
exhale.
Like, if you don't, you look like Eli Manning. You ever notice him?
No.
He's a you know.
He's a what?
He always has his mouth open. No one looks more dumb than people who walk around with their mouth open.
What are you, catching flies?
Yeah, exactly. I forget what they call them. I don't know if they call them mouth breathers or
maybe
something.
Maybe he has like a problem, though. Like maybe his nasal passages are blocked and he has to
maybe.
Breathe through his mouth.
But he always has his mouth open. Peter in Maryland. When Solder checks in as eligible, I keep waiting to see him run a pass route and catch for a TD in the red zone, essentially fulfilling a role Gronk would be. And do you think this could happen?
Anything could happen.
I think it definitely could happen.
He's a former...
What is that?
It's out there.
Oh, is it?
It's out okay. in the hallway or something.
All right.
He's a former tight end. I mean, he went to college, started at Colorado as a tight end before being converted to tackle. Bill used to do that all the time. I mean, if you remember that era, and some of it led to injuries. I think both Klecko and Seymour got hurt playing offense, blocking. But Ashworth, Klecko, Seymour, Vrabel obviously was the high-profile one, and we haven't really done it much.
of late.
But I do think that eventually you're going to see Solder catch a pass.
Could.
Yeah.
Now, the sooner Gronk comes back and gets healthy, the less likely it probably
is. Right. They were doing it. They did it in week one. I think they might have done it in week two as well because they were really short on tight ends.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Your
phone's buzzing.
Yeah, I don't know. It's coming from Pollock SD, South Dakota. It's probably one of those.
You can stop it from doing that, you know.
Yeah. It's probably one of those, you know,
telemarketers.
Yeah.
From South Dakota?
Oh, yeah. They come
from
all over
the place. The hell are they selling in South Dakota?
Come from all over the place.
Fracking oil?
Rodolfo says, great answer. The correct answer is 17 interceptions for Steve Nelson.
Woo!
But like you said, it'd be pretty difficult for me to go see Hightower all the way from Mexico.
Oh, sorry.
All right. All right, well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, more of your emails. Eric will be coming a little later with the locker room and practice report. And Paul will be back from the locker room as well.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance, dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play Online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
PFW in Progress presents Car Shopping with Fred Kirsch.
You know, when I first got married, my wife's car, she had a Subaru Outback, okay? The woman across the street comes over and says, oh, you have a Subaru Outback. That's a lesbian car. And I'm up pruning the tree. I'm like, who asked you?
Never question the boss when it comes to cars.
Did you say that? Yeah, I said that to her. Who asked you? But my point is, who cares? If lesbians have adopted the Subaru Outback, but I like a Subaru Outback, I don't care.
Because there's
only people like you that have hang-ups.
No.
Did you listen? I have a hang-up.
Nobody will ever tell Fred Kirsch or his wife what to drive. Now back to PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398. Pat, what is it? 855-PATS-500. Web radio at Patriots.com is the email address. I'm here with Andy.
Freddie, good comedy coming out of the Patriots locker room.
Yeah.
You know the little back and forth with Albert Breer and Bill Belichick earlier in the week?
Right.
Well, Gronkowski's in there talking today, and he was asked if he was close to playing versus Tampa. Quote, I was inactive, he said. Then he laughed for 2 minutes. That's good right there.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like these guys don't see this stuff.
Right. Oh, no. You know? They all click through and watch Comcast or SportsCenter or NFL
Network. Absolutely.
And then the other information, I guess, Amendola said he hopes to be 100% soon, I believe was the exact quote.
That could be tomorrow and it could be next week. And
you know, light at the end of the tunnel. He said there is a light. So, I mean, he's clearly staying positive and thinks he's building back towards. I anticipate being 100% shortly, he said. So that's good.
All right.
I don't know what shortly means. Yeah. 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years. You know, I thought Gronk would be out shortly with a broken forearm. It still hurt.
Ryan in Belfast, this Sunday is the first London game of the season between the Vikings and the Steelers. I was just wondering your opinion on the NFL having games over in London, especially with the Patriots playing there last year. Is it a pain in the arse, or are you guys okay with it? I'm from Ireland, and I saw both Patriots games versus the Bucks and Rams, and it was an incredible experience. Just to let you know, the fans over here really appreciate a game closer to home. Love the show, guys. Looking forward to a 1:20 a.m. kickoff this Sunday.
I like London. I thought it was fun both times. Well, I only went once, but the experience was very good for my first time. And yeah. I think watching it's cool. It's different fans. I don't know, football-wise, exactly what Bill Belichick feels about it. That's a totally separate issue. But from a media and fan perspective, I have no problem
with
it.
I think I think both times he was, you know, the comments he made said that it was pretty accommodating, that he was happy with the practicing and happy with, you know, the logistics of it. Now, last time it was a little weird because we had that hurricane.
Right.
And we had to leave at like 5 in the morning to just get in time. Well, into Boston just
too.
Before it was.
You stayed longer, and then
right,
and then you were up early.
Well, we would have stayed longer anyway, right. But we were going to leave a little later in the day. But you know,
that's not. I mean, that could happen in New York. That could happen in Florida.
So that was kind of weird. But and that could have happened, like you said, anywhere. But I don't think it's that big a deal, really.
Yeah, I didn't think it was for him. And he seemed to like. Remember, he even went to the Churchill War Museum, and he even took advantage a little bit of the trip.
I mean, they. I think. They set a world record or some type of milestone, the first NFL team ever to practice in Hyde Park.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
And then the other time they practiced at that 100-year-old cricket?
Yeah, cricket stadium. Yeah, something like that.
That
was
pretty cool.
Yeah.
So it's a different thing. It's just a flight across the pond. It's not that far for us. I mean, we're right on the tip here of the East Coast. And I like it. You know, I don't know about the long-term anything of any – in terms of a full-time team or lots of every week having a different game. I don't know.
See, that's where it gets tough because, you know, a team that basically has to go cross-country for every game.
Right.
You know, like we talk about the Seahawks and, you know, the 49ers, but they don't have to go cross-country for every game.
Right.
That's what would happen. So you'd say, okay, well, then they'd come to the United States and stay for 3 weeks and play three games. But that's tough, too.
Right.
You know? You're living out of a hotel for 3 weeks with all your equipment, and that's
it's
really
not ideal.
That's difficult,
and it's not fair. I mean,
you know?
It's not equal and balanced with everybody else.
So then you say, okay, well then maybe you could have a division in the London, Ireland area. Oh well, okay.
Who knows?
But
I mean, I think we're a ways away from that.
I do too.
I know a lot of you know, you hear comments from the league and owners, and they try to make it sound a lot closer.
Right.
I'm not sure it's as close.
Are we closer to that or L.A.? Having a team in L.A.?
I don't know. And I'll tell you, I think they earned it more over in Europe. I mean, they seem to be more passionate fans than L.A. So it might be a better...
Yeah.
But economically, I don't know what... You know, everybody just raves about L.A. and having that market, and it's the sixth biggest market in the world and all that blah, blah, blah. I don't know whether that matters or not. But just in terms of the experience, I think the players liked it. I know the media likes it. And like you said, I think Belichick wasn't, at the very least, wasn't totally opposed to it.
We were talking about somebody wanted to know when they could watch the replay of the game. We're talking about NFL Game Rewind, the app that you can download.
Well, the app slash site. It is a site, too.
Andrew says, after your Tuesday show, I purchased the NFL Game Rewind. Fred, thanks for the suggestion. The app only works on the computer via the website and a tablet via the App Store, but it doesn't work on a phone, Android or iPhone. They've done a decent job restricting access from the phone, and I would know as I work for tech experts in IT hacking firm. So he has some tips on how to save money on the subscription. So I'll read them. What the hell? Number one, you sign up for the 7-day access, which is $9.99. Don't worry, it's temporary. So you sign up for that first. Then, after the account is created, you finish the registration process, log into GameRewind.NFL.com, and go to the account tab. Upgrade to the season for a special price of $19.99. Typically, this costs $39.99. You just save $10 from the base price. And if you want to keep going, then upgrade to a season plus for a special price of $19.99. Typically, this costs $69.99. You just save $20 from the base price.
Interesting.
Right. So that's pretty good.
So it's not hacking. I thought he was had like
no.
some hacking thing.
Football question here. Have you given any thought on doing a Tuesday report card? I really like the Ron Borges format and level of detail of his report card and how the team performed broken down into the various positions. I think the PFW group would do a better job, but that's just my opinion. Well, Eric does his after further review on Monday, and then you do your Tuesday review as well.
But neither is a report
card. No, we don't do report cards.
I don't think that's a good road for us to
go. Not for us. Yeah.
I think we'll stay out of that.
Yeah.
I think that would get us in trouble with a lot of people organizationally.
I really like the energy that Brian brings to the show as opposed to Eric. Is there any chance you could rotate Brian for Eric every week or maybe just permanently?
Maybe you were supposed to save this email for 1:30.
Just kidding, Eric. Fred and Andy asked me to do it.
Yeah, you were supposed to save that for 1:30. Want to play my game, Fred?
What's your game?
I am going to read you the question and answer from a Matt Patricia conference call on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell me what the hell he's talking about.
Okay.
Now, remember, he is indeed a rocket scientist. He has his degree in, like, space engineering, and he's a smart guy. And he's also clearly been told by Bill Belichick not to talk about anything at any time when he's on a conference call. So he was asked, do safeties and cornerbacks hold meetings separately, or do they all meet together so that they have a good idea of the inner workings in the secondary? It's a pretty simple question. Do you meet as one group or two?
Right.
Well, I think just in general as basic philosophy of teaching, I think that you want to do what you want to do is approach it from a holistic point of view and break it down into its fundamental elements from there. I think that's what you want to do with your position groups also. So, it doesn't matter what the subject is. If you can grasp it from the full concept standpoint, break it down into individual parts, and then bring it back together and go back through it as a holistic unit, I think that's the best way to get it done.
So, it sounds like they meet as a together as a group, then they meet smaller groups, then they go back and meet as a larger group again.
What does holistic mean?
It means as a whole, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
If you... from a holistic point of view and break it down into its fundamental elements from there. I think that's what you want to do with position groups.
Mind, body, spirit.
Well, that's what I was confused. I was like, right. Holistic medicine, holistic coaching.
Right.
So they do both.
Right. It sounds that way.
Couldn't he have said both?
Yeah. I guess he could have.
There was like five sentences of big words there, and I'm like, does that mean both or no? He does a really good job of that, though. I have a good relationship with him, and I joke with him every time you talk to him. He gets the little smirk when he knows he is saying a lot with saying nothing, and he's, like, so proud of himself that Bill can never get mad at me. I never say anything.
Joe says, as far as Brady and his performance goes, let's face it, somewhere in the 30s, athletes' performance starts to decline. Some guys, it starts earlier, 30 or 31 years. Other guys, it's almost 40. But sometimes in their 30, athletes' performance start to decline. Let's not let the lights that are Peyton Manning's comeback cloud that reality. Last year, Tom Brady had a decline in completion percentage. This year, it is downright awful. Much of this decline can be blamed on the young receiving core struggling to learn this complex offense, but some could very well be the beginning of the decline of Tom Brady.
Sure, it's possible. But I would also submit that elite quarterbacks of late are playing till they're old, right? I mean, Brett Favre was 40, whatever.
Yep.
Peyton Manning is 37.
And he looks as good as he has in years.
So are we seeing that under modern rules where you can't hit anybody, certainly not the quarterback, that truly elite quarterbacks might be able to play till they're 40 or till whatever that age is, or that age is sort of being pushed off like Brady likes to do, moving the finish line? I mean, I just think there's a chance that we're sort of seeing the new era of modern quarterbacks and they can play longer. Other stuff, you know, the TB12 method, taking better care of their body and their training and all that crap. And no, I'm not pulling a Felger and insinuating they're necessarily taking drugs. I don't necessarily believe either Brady or Manning are drug users. You know, I don't think they need to be. But I think with the right training, proper diet, there are a lot of things you can do very legally at that position, you know, because you're not big, you're not hitting anybody.
Right. You're not running a long way,
right?
Unless you're Michael Vick, or
you're standing there. Yeah. As long as your arm works, you're good, basically.
Right.
And so I think we might just be seeing the advent of elite quarterbacks play for a long time. You know, I wouldn't. You know, Matt Ryan doesn't get hit that much. Maybe he's going to have a 20-year career, or any of the. You know, I'm eliminating RG3, Russell Wilson, any of the guys that try to run and get hit.
Right.
I'm eliminating all those.
Right.
But I'm saying guys who basically make their living throw Luck, Andrew Luck. I have no reason to believe he won't play for the next 20-plus
years.
But
he does run.
Some.
Yeah, when he needs
to.
Yeah.
And if you remember, Brady used to run a little bit more early in his career than he does. Never a lot, because he was always slow as a snail. But he used to run a little bit more. That'll fade as Luck gets older. He just won't do it. He'll do the Manning where he just throws it into the ground when the guy's coming.
Charlotta, or Michelle, from Stockholm.
She
says,
loves when you do that, you know.
Talking about mental state, I was mentally prepared for a loss, but looking at Atlanta and their injuries, I'm not anymore. So now if we lose, I'll have a horrid Monday, until Fred can talk me off the ledge on Tuesday. And to answer Arity, there's nothing worth doing if it meant missing PFW, so there's that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Andy. There's a piece of schmutz on my screen.
Ew.
So it looked like an R.I.
It's probably a piece of, like, pastrami or something from your sandwich yesterday.
Could be.
Which made you ill, right?
Yeah, I didn't feel good after eating yesterday.
How about later? You had dinner?
Yeah, it got better. It's just some nausea that passed.
It was not the food.
I don't know what it was.
It wasn't the food. You're fine.
All I know is I wasn't feeling well.
You like to blame it on somebody.
Well, you look for a cause. When you're not feeling well, do you not wonder why?
I do.
Okay, that's all I'm saying.
But I don't blame the food place that I've been eating the same food from for 6 months. I mean, 6 years.
That's all I'm saying.
Paul's back.
Garland writes in,
I've
been surprised that Jamie Collins hasn't been getting more reps. Patriots need his speed on defense. You think he'll get more playing time?
How many points are we giving up on defense, Paul?
Defensively, nine.
Okay.
11 overall, I think.
They need his speed on defense.
Yeah, Jamie Collins is being eased in. Then, you know,
as he should be. You know what good teams do? They ease their young players,
especially when it's a second round pick. It's not like a first round pick, top half of the first round, that you expect them to step in immediately. But you know what?
Those are also usually not good teams.
I feel like I just I haven't even left. One of the last things I said was about how the depth on the outside. Maybe Collins. Now, so far we've seen Collins be just a traditional linebacker. He's been more of a coverage linebacker than a rusher. Maybe he's a guy that, if something were to happen to Chandler Jones, could maybe factor in and use that speed that the emailer Garland just talked about.
It was an end last year, right?
Yeah.
In the high profile.
And I do think he has that kind of a Conference USA in the 0-12 Southern Miss Golden Eagles.
Conference USA. Who else plays in that?
Houston.
Boise.
Rice. I believe Memphis. Those kinds of teams.
Okay, good.
Not great. Not a great.
Paul, you just came from the locker room. What's going on in there?
Some news. Danny Amendola spoke today.
Yeah.
First time, I believe, since he was injured. I think he may have spoken after the Buffalo game, but I don't think he's spoken since. Not positive on that, but didn't say anything earth-shattering, but he did say, I anticipate being 100% soon. Something I'm paraphrasing.
But right.
I think you hit it dead on, according to Twitter.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I tweeted it out, too, but... I anticipate being 100% soon.
And Rappaport reported it's not actually the groin.
I knew
it's
you were
going to
say
nipple.
Something like that. He still has a little hitch in his giddy up. There's no question about it. Now, all the writers said today that he looked better out there. I would imagine that tomorrow is going to be a big day for him. You know, if he did a little bit more today, how does it feel tomorrow? Still would be very surprised to see him play.
Anybody want to explain to me what exactly is going to happen with his groin?
Well, now we are hearing more now. It's totally detached.
Correct. How is it going to get reattached? It's just going to grow back?
I've heard that it doesn't need to.
What?
It doesn't need to reattach. You don't need it.
So he'll never use that muscle again?
Yeah. Other muscles.
It'll just dangle around between his legs.
Other muscles around it will compensate and he'll be fine.
But what's going to happen to that actual? It's just going to shrivel up and die?
I guess so. It gets eaten by the other muscles.
Now you're making it up.
I don't know.
But, like, I'm a big believer, and I know that medically some of this is proven wrong, but if God put it there, it's supposed to be there. Or whoever you believe put it there.
Right.
If Mother Nature
put
it
there,
there's a reason the damn thing is there.
Right. You know, millions of years of evolution would tend to think that things are there for a reason.
Right. Like, we're pretty high species. We've kind of evolved quite a bit. It's there for a reason. If it didn't need to be there, it would have evolved out.
The appendix.
Yeah, there's some things that you can do with.
Well, that's why I started
with
some of this has been medically proven wrong. I don't really believe. I think it all needs to be there. God put it in. He had a reason. Or whoever you believe in.
Okay.
Also, Gronk spoke. I did not get a chance to hear him. However,
I really wish you had, because based on Twitter, he was funny.
Yeah, I was. That's when I was getting ready to do the TV interview with Brandon Bolden, who was good too.
He was good.
Yeah.
Did you ask him if he really wears glasses or if those are fake?
He didn't have them on, so I didn't think it would make any sense for me to say, so are those real glasses, when he didn't actually have them on?
I hear you.
But I did mean to ask him after we were done, and then we got swarmed. But, you know, big thumbs up to the Patriots Media Relations Department and Aaron Salkin in particular for allowing me to do the interview before. The entire, because everybody wanted them.
Nice.
To. Right. So it was nice to get the chance to get that out of the way first.
Good.
Yeah, but I don't know if you saw it on Twitter, but Gronk apparently was asked if he was close to playing on Sunday, and he said, I was inactive.
I was inactive.
And then laughed.
That's why That's why he's the best.
That's why they love him. You know how we say that?
That's why they hate Andy and I? That's why they love Gronk.
And Bill goes real funny.
Brian from Brighton. Since the topic came up yesterday about the Giants game being aired in Western Mass, I wanted to bring up my topic. All last week, CBS was advertising a doubleheader day for this past Sunday. Excited to watch another game that I can check on during commercial breaks during the Pets game on Fox. I switch over, and what the hell? There's an infomercial on CBS during the Patriots game. What gives with that? I think when the Patriots are on, that network can't have a doubleheader.
You can't have competition for your local game, can you?
Right, but is he talking about the late game? Or the
yeah, no, he's
game?
Talking about the same time. He said while the commercial or the Patriots.
Well, but wait, so were the Patriots on? He was talking
the
about
the Patriots were on Fox.
He was talking about
and
1 o'clock.
He wanted to go to CBS and see what was the game on CBS, yeah. And they okay. They didn't have
yeah, Andy's
one.
Answer was the right compete. One. You can't have competition. I thought this was another one that didn't
right.
Get to watch the Patriots.
Yeah, if the Patriots were playing like Sunday night or Monday night, then I think CBS and Fox could have had a game. Head to head.
Plus,
yeah,
other
get
places.
The double headers anyway.
Head.
I mean, it's you're going to have the Patriots don't have a game on at the same time, but there'll be two games. There's a chance that you're going to get a 4 o'clock game either way. So you're going to get, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You're going to get two.
No, but elsewhere there is a 1 o'clock game in, you know, Dubuque, Iowa.
Right.
They were watching the Patriots on
they
Fox.
They got a doubleheader
they
on
also
Fox.
Had a game on CBS at 1
right.
o'clock.
Right.
It's just because locally you
right.
can't compete against
exactly.
your team.
Right.
Yep.
Right. Right.
Right.
Right.
Sean and Marilyn, what do you
Paul,
guys...
you know what holistic means?
Like, as in holistic medicine?
More like coaching.
Oh, no. What does that mean? I'm sorry. Did I walk into something?
No, Matt Patricia had this thing where he was asked, basically, do safeties and cornerbacks hold meetings together or separately? And his response was, well, I think just in general, as basic philosophy of teaching, I think that you want to do is approach it from a holistic point of view and break it down into its fundamental elements from there. I think that's what you want to do with your position groups also. So it doesn't matter what the subject is. If you can grasp it from a full concept standpoint, break it down into its individual parts, and then bring it back together and go back through it as a holistic unit, I think that's the best way to get it done. Fred told me that means both. They meet as separate and together. But Matt made it sound a lot more complicated.
I think they meet together to look at the overall concept. Then they break it into small groups to
they
work on their element.
They drink a little fish oil. They
and then
eat
they
some
bring it
ginger
back.
Snap root.
Right, and then they bring it back.
Rub some witch
work,
hazel on their groin.
To work on it as a group.
Why didn't you just say both?
Which is a lot of what we see in practice. You know, they break it down. Then they come to 7-7. Then they go to 11-11.
I believe it's called muddying the water and not just saying both.
Right.
Holistically speaking.
Sean writes in from Maryland, what do you guys think Dobson will do this week? I like how much Brady is targeting him to build confidence. Do you guys think see him producing this week? I figure Brady is throwing 40-plus times this week, and Gronk can only catch so many balls if he plays. I don't see a situation where they get ahead and are running the clock out.
Well, I would imagine they'd throw the ball 40-plus times because they've basically done that in
right.
all three games. I mean, I think it was 52, 39, and 39.
But he's right. Even more so, you're thinking the other team's going to score. So
oh,
not,
yeah. No, I'm
not running eight straight times yeah. in the fourth quarter, potentially.
But I certainly I agree with the emailer. I see more throws than less. If,
right.
if you're going to say,
so Boyce.
Greater, you know, greater than less than, I would say chances are you're going to be in a shootout type game. If things go well offensively, that's going to lead to more throwing.
So Boyce.
Now, you could also make an argument that, hey, maybe they want to milk the clock a little bit, get
I
the ground game,
that.
Get the ground game going against the bad defense. You know, try to do it that way.
I actually think
that
they
could
will
happen.
Try to run the ball some. Don't know how much, because I think even when they run the ball some, they still throw it a lot.
Well, it's like this past week, they came out and, you know, they had the five wide in that first series, and then they ran the ball a little bit. I think what happens early in games is they run the ball, and they don't get any yards. You know, like, you know, Ridley on first and 10, he gets, you know, stopped for a yard. And it's like you throw, and if it's incomplete, and all of a sudden you're three and out, then you're like, well, did we not try to run the ball? Or were we just not successful in moving the chains, and that limited the plays, and now we've only run the ball one out of three plays? You know, like, I don't necessarily think of it as Josh McDaniel says, I'm going to come out, throw it all over the place, and then when we get the lead, I'm going to run. You know, and then, like Andy says, I'm not sure how good they can run early in games or whatever. I don't know if it necessarily is an indictment on the running game or if it's just kind of circumstantial. Maybe if Ridley got 8 yards on that play, and then the next play they got a first down, then you can run Ridley again. And it looks like you're running the ball a little bit more often. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's chicken or the egg there. Is it bad running leads to less attempts, or is it not enough attempts to get, you know, the production that you want?
I just
confused myself.
Dan in Virginia.
I stopped listening at one point because you confused me.
I can always tell when you look around.
Well, no, because you started to say, was it this? And then I said, uh-oh, I lost him. Well, I'm not going to try to catch up.
I'll tell you why I brought it up. It was stemming from Mike Reese and I were talking this morning, and he was saying that he doesn't think that they give the running game enough of an opportunity early in games. And I don't really agree with that. I think they have given it.
Of course. Now, did you tell him running stupid?
No, I didn't say it was. I didn't think it was. Oh, no.
Generally, philosophically speaking, running is stupid.
I think, and we looked at the game book yesterday, and everybody's, you know, like, everybody points to the first play because Bolden was out wide. They had five wide. They threw a screen, and it was a 12-yard gain. Well, then they ran.
Right.
You know, and they didn't get anything. Then the next time they had the ball, they ran Ridley, and he didn't get anything. You know, so I don't necessarily think it was because they didn't run the ball. It's because they didn't run it well.
Right, and then you're down 3-0, and that's panic time.
Well,
in
not necessarily down, but you've had the ball three times, Fred, and didn't
move
the ball.
Why bang your head against the wall?
You got one first down and then went 3-and-out three times in a row.
Right.
And all of a sudden, it's the middle of the second quarter, and you have a goose egg on the board. So I don't think do you think the game plan was we don't want to run the ball early in the game?
No.
Or that they didn't run it well early in the game?
Yes.
That's what I think.
And when did Vollmer get hurt?
Late in the quarter. Half.
First half?
Yeah. Right? It was right before halftime.
I really don't remember.
Halftime, and he came back late from halftime.
You know, because you also look at matchups. If you know, we're losing that left side. So, you know, why bang our head against the wall and keep going there?
And that is a good run defense.
Yeah.
And not only production-wise, yeah, you know, when I say a good run defense, I look back to last year. They were number one in the league. I say they're a pretty good run defense. But, you know, they were talking about
negative plays.
But Logan was talking about they make it hard for the back to find the hole. Not just that they're productive. I didn't even really know what he meant, and somebody followed up. But he schematically, he was saying they're a hard team to run against, too, more than just, like, they're good players.
Dan of Virginia, I think you've found your solution to the question of what to do when two of the guys are out for PFW in progress. Brian's a great addition, knowledgeable but not afraid to mix it up. By the way, is Fred extending his name mangling to outside the Patriots? It sounded like he said Emilio Earhart earlier instead of Amelia Earhart. Probably. That's probably who I was thinking of. I
thought it was his brother.
Yeah.
Wait, who were you thinking of?
Who were you thinking of?
Yeah, no, Brian was great.
No, wait, time out. Who were you thinking of?
Great.
What were we talking about?
I don't know.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know how you said Emilio Earhart and said, yeah, that's what I was thinking of. What?
Probably Ron Air. I don't know. What were we talking about? I forget.
I wasn't here, so yeah. I don't know.
I forget. I don't know.
When was either Emilio Earhart or Amelia Earhart relevant to our conversation today?
I have no idea. I don't remember what we were talking about. Someone argued that the Falcons will play harder because they're 1-2 and need to win. I think that's actually a reason they'll lose. The Falcons have a tendency to fold under pressure in big games. And by the way, Steve Nelson had 17 interceptions, but I'm sorry I won't be able to Raytheon to make it up to Raytheon to the speaker series at the Raytheon Theater at the Hall of Patriots Place, brought to you by Raytheon, this Raytheon Thursday. Raytheon, Raytheon, Raytheon.
That is the correct answer to the question.
Yes.
17. You guys already got a winner?
Well, we've had people answer it, but they're all from far away. They don't want the tickets.
Oh.
Right. Matt in Indiana, Matt writes in, I've only been listening for a couple years. Enjoy the show. I missed the first 15 minutes of your show, so I'm not familiar with Brian or who he was, but it was nice to have a fourth person in the group that knew something about football. Keep up the good work, Paul, Frent, and Andy. Wow.
Eric's here.
Hey, Eric.
Hey.
What's going on?
Injured guys talking?
Yes.
Don't know what you make of it.
Absolutely nothing. I stopped believing in that over the
years.
Well, Gronk has talked the last several weeks.
Yeah, Gronk has.
Well, I've changed
Patrick Chung did.
The new name for Danny.
Steve Gregory did.
On the Mendola.
On the Mendola. Oh,
and what was the emailer's option? Danny M. Am I still injured? Something like that.
Wasn't as good as on the Mendola.
No, on the Mendola.
That's gold.
Yeah, that is.
Fred, no one's going to be.
He does spend his life on the mend because he's always hurt.
That's our cover if he has a big game.
No, because then he'll already be
mended. Yeah. Because he said
Mended Dola.
He said today that he anticipates being 100% shortly.
Correct.
Right. Shortly could be...
That's a relative term. Relative. It's a relative term.
At 6 o'clock.
If he has a 20-year NFL career.
In a month.
Yeah. Well, the fact that a guy even put... was willing to speculate on a percentage, it was I thought, odd.
And I would argue he's not going to be 100% ever. Because I don't know what's happening with that dangling muscle.
I don't think he'll be 100% this year.
I don't either.
Because he's not going to get the proper rest.
Unless it shrivels up and goes away, and that's a good
thing. Now, he said he's, quote, feeling a lot better. That I can kind of...
Sure.
Kind of believe that.
Plus, you saw him look better.
And I saw him look better at practice. But
the eyeball test that you guys
Eric, give me your percentage. This is Eric Scalavino's percentage, not Ben Violina's or Mike Reese's or Danny Amendola's. Just yours. From last week to this week, what was the delta in the percentage?
Last week, I'd say he was clearly below 50%. Just the speed he was going, what he was able to do. I'd say now he's probably a little bit over 50, maybe 60%.
So a decent jump.
Pretty good jump.
But still a decent
still a long way
to go.
Yes, definitely. Definitely there was a clear increase in his quickness doing the agility drills, but there was still a noticeable hitch in that right leg. But certainly much quicker doing it than last week.
Yeah, I thought just watching him walk around in the locker room, that's exactly the word. There's still a distinct hitch in his giddy-up, just walking in the locker room.
Right.
So there's something preventing him from, you know, sort of having that fluid range of motion. And
torn muscle.
My guess is it's the dangling muscle.
Off the bone, yeah. But to go out and say, I anticipate being 100% shortly, that...
It's interesting.
I'm stunned.
I agree.
Well, that was my mic. That's the quote I tweeted.
It's clear that Amendola looks at being injured differently than other guys.
Oh, yeah. He has a phobia thing. Or
he hears the whispers.
It's on his mind.
They're not whispers. The screams about his durability. And I know that he wants to get out there just like any other player, but I think he wants everyone to know that too, you know?
Yeah. It's not good.
It's not good.
I'm not sure it's good.
No? Why?
No, I think
he might
someone
do something.
Yes, and I think that's happening right now. I think someone needs to protect him from himself.
He could be certainly putting himself at risk. But is he? I think he is maybe putting the team more at risk if he's out on the field and he's not able to perform the way he should. He did. I mean, in Buffalo, he did it because you can argue it's the injury just happened. You're running on adrenaline. A lot of times the injury doesn't really manifest itself until later. You know, the pain sets in and all that.
Right.
So you can kind of see, well, and he certainly didn't hurt the team then. He actually, I think, was the reason why they won.
You can make an argument that,
if it weren't for him,
they probably
wouldn't. Amendola. Right. But now from here on out, you wonder whether or not a guy who's not at 100% at that position is doing more harm than good to a team.
Both short and long term. Right. Not only on the field for that day, but... If he's never going to be 100% in December and January,
right.
Whereas he could be if he did X, Y, Z, he needs to go hit up the TB12
Sports Therapy Center.
Yeah. Who else talked? I know that Gronk had some, was pretty funny.
He was funny. Monday, people made a big deal about Albert Breer's line of questioning with the...
He's inactive.
And, him and Amendola. So somebody asked him today... Asked Gronk today how close were you to playing this past Sunday against Tampa Bay, and he goes inactive. He cracked himself, literally cracked himself up.
Pulled an Andy Hart.
He started laughing, and then the next person tried to start asking a question, and he was like laughing even more. It was a pretty comical moment. But and then Albert continued with his line of the strength issue that we've talked about. You can't be at full strength when you can't lift weights. So where are you at that stage? And he kind of gave a little bit of that corner of the mouth smile and was like, I'm improving every week in that area too. And he won't say if he's going to play. And it's odd for him too to keep talking.
And no one is
when he's not.
No
playing.
One has asked yet, though. Is this now a football decision? No one's asked that question.
I'm trying to think if anybody. I think it did get asked
two weeks ago. I thought.
Oh yeah,
I thought it got asked 2 weeks ago.
Might have been asked today too. I can't remember though. Shoot. But those two were the big stories today, obviously. both of those guys talking. Kyle Arrington, at the very end, talked a little bit, trying to, you know, simulating the noise in a dome, and it's really impossible to do.
Kyle
that.
Arrington simulated the noise?
No. Oh. He was asked about trying to simulate that at practice, and you really can't. I mean, especially here, you're outside. Maybe you can do it a little bit in the Dana-Farber, but they're not practicing in there. So.
Yeah, Bon Jovi doesn't cut it. You got to have more than that, you know, because it gets loud.
Yeah.
And I'm convinced in these indoor stadiums, they do pipe in music a little bit too. Maybe even in Seattle.
Maybe.
At this point in Seattle's
pretty loud.
I know it's loud, but this point in Seattle, you know, you don't question anything because, you know, they're so loud. So you could really do anything you want now there. You know?
Well, it's working for them.
I'm not dismissing that as a possibility, but do you really think that the louder it is, the less they're going to question it?
Yes. The louder the reputation is, the less they're going to question
it. I think that would put more of a red flag up. Like, come on. What did they say last week? They were close to what barrier? Sound barrier?
Hurting your ears.
Yeah, you know, where it was damaged to your ear. You don't think someone who's sort of in charge of monitoring this sort of thing would be, that's physically impossible. Human beings can't do. I got to look into that.
No.
I would think that would be putting a.
I wish they would.
That's because you think everybody cheats.
Yeah. Well,
maybe we should start piping it in.
We couldn't because no one would be like no, because all of a sudden if it was deafeningly loud, people would be like, what's going on here? And then they would look at it. But if you got a place like Kansas City that's always loud, well, that's what they are.
I really can't wait to experience that. The Kansas City, the Arrowhead Stadium. I've heard so much about how really impressive that stadium is.
It's great. It's the well, now Seattle is up there, but it was the closest thing to a college atmosphere you had in the NFL. Yeah, I thought. All right, we're going to take another quick break. Food just came, so I need something to get me through the last 20 minutes. We'll be right back.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of
really,
that game?
It was really, really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery.
But they take that field out, you know.
In trays.
Yes, they do. But it stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
I can't help it.
I thought it too.
No, you got too naked.
You didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts,
Jesus,
will the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398. 855-PATS-500, and the email is webradio@patriots.com.
I give you an out when you mess up the new toll-free number. It's new. webradio@patriots.com has been around for 15 years now. Is that what it is? How'd you screw that up?
More or less.
I just wish I was perfect like Andy.
I say that often.
Yeah. I just wish you were competent.
The fact that you work for me shows my incompetence.
I love when you pull that one out.
You know,
I've done okay for myself.
Oh, no. I think he was making fun of himself there.
Yeah. That he hired you.
Right. He was taking a shot at you while making fun of himself.
Twice, mind you.
You're a two-time loser.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm still not your worst
I really enjoyed my days.
Was talking to...
Whatever happened to that?
Oh, that...
During the break, we're talking about the Manning documentary that was on last night. Andy, just a follow-up. There was an anecdote that Peyton told about when he was in high school. You know, he was a little bit, you know, was a hothead, and he was a baby, and wasn't always the best team, you know, the best, you know, sport. And they lost
didn't
a game.
Didn't take coaching well.
That's the way he put it. Didn't take coaching well. And they lost a game, and the coach was telling them about all the things they did wrong. And Peyton's telling the story, and he goes, you know, that look that Peyton gets, he turns his head to the side, and he's wagging his finger as he's telling the story. And I pointed back at the coach and said, no, we lost because you don't know what you're doing. Archie was, of course, up in arms, and the moral, the anecdote was all about how Archie dragged him to the coach's house to apologize in person, and, you know, that he was a good life lesson for him. But you had mentioned it was the guy that coached them in high school. He's still a family friend. He works for them now at the Manning Passing Academy. So it's a guy that obviously they had a lot of respect for as well. But the Manning face was born at age 3. I mean, we've seen the clip of him, you know, he has the Saint shirt on, and we see it a lot. But there were a lot of home movies. And in them all, the older brother, Cooper, is absolutely torturing Peyton at all times.
It's hilarious.
One clip they show him, he's kicking him on the ground.
Yeah.
It was like they were having a WWE wrestling match, Andy, and he's just kicking him. And every one of the men's with the same way. Peyton's
running off,
walking off, going toward Archie, who's holding the camera, obviously crying. He's holding my shirt, you know. And it's just like that's the Manning face. That's where it came from. It's really, really well done.
This passing academy that Manning has, what kind of magic are they doing down there? Because that's you hear about all these quarterbacks that go to this.
Well, they're pretty good.
Manning passing academy.
The instructors are the who's who's of pro and college quarterbacks,
including the Mannings.
Right. No, but I mean,
I don't think Johnny Manziel.
Every year, you hear like the people that go there are the who's who,
right?
As instructors, and that obviously brings in the who's who are of.
And if you get hurt, they send you right to James Andrews.
Could be.
It's unbelievable.
But
there's,
you know,
there's
I was thinking
Trent
that
Dilfer,
I don't know how much money this thing is making, but it's probably a pretty good business.
Oh,
for the Mannings.
Its own? Yeah,
and I'm wondering
so.
If Tom Brady looked at that and said, well, okay, I'm not going to compete with that, but I'll do my own thing. And then he started the TB12 Sports Performance Center.
But isn't that a – I thought that was a rehab.
It is.
Well, it's not just
no,
rehab.
It's training.
Oh, it's training too?
Yeah.
It's prehab.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was a
– It's preparing.
And
it's
I think
everything.
It's also lifestyle, nutrition.
Yeah.
It's more of a holistic approach.
Yeah. It's nutrition, it's vitamins.
You're reading from a press release over there?
It's working
out. No, no, no,
out.
That's from a totally different thing.
Oh.
Yeah. Matt Patricia described the holistic process of whether safeties and cornerbacks share meeting rooms. I don't know what he said. I still don't. Fred said it. Wow. He answered both, but said it in about 500 words.
What?
What are you watching there?
They have this thing on ESPN. They're saying America's Greatest Comebacks. And they have like the 99 Ryder Cup when they were down a million points and came back on the last day. And they just one of them was the 1980 Olympic hockey team, U.S. coming back to beat Russia. And now that was arguably, not arguably to me, but arguably to me, the greatest moment in the history of American sports. So I'm not discounting it, but they were down 3-2.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really think that goes down as
a comeback.
The greatest comeback was the Red Sox 3-0 down against the Yankees, right? That was the first time that had ever happened.
That's definitely
in baseball.
In baseball, yeah. John, oh no, this is someone writing in for John.
How will you live, John?
Mark and Cheddar, earlier we were wondering why he wasn't able to listen to our show while he was here in the States.
Wow. Evidently, Brady had bad information. Christian Ponder expected to start Sunday.
You never know.
He says, hey, Big Head, I said I couldn't listen live. I listened to the podcast. I was working at a kid's science camp, so it was impossible to listen live. And I forgot that over the summer, Eric passed the DB torch on. To you, I guess.
What are you yelling at people for?
Nothing.
Did you make a mistake?
And
just
no, I don't know.
Just can't admit it now.
I find it funny that I told the listeners that a lot of times we hear people that they visit the U.S. and they say, I didn't have time to visit. I was in the States. And then they go back home and they listen. And I didn't know why they can't listen while they're here. When apparently they have nothing going on in their normal lives.
Mark.
Steven, Texas.
I knew he wouldn't admit he was wrong.
Steven, Texas, I
By the
believe,
way, geek camp? I mean, seriously.
I believe Peyton Manning was RoboCop during his recovery and is now a full android. I mean, really, look at how almost lifelike he appears in the post-game interviews. If you listen closely, I believe you will be able to hear the servos. All kidding aside, we have
Speaking
seen,
of geeks.
We have seen this
From
all,
a holistic sense.
We have seen this all before with a quarterback by the name of Kurt Warner. Records and stats are great, but Super Bowl rings are much better.
They both have them.
Man, this year might be a little different,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of that already. And if you're not a believer in Peyton Manning in the playoffs, I get it. The record speaks for itself. If you think he's going to choke or whatever, but do you think that Denver's good enough to win?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think the Patriots in 2007 were good enough to win?
Oh, yeah.
That's really what I look at. I mean,
Mike Felger doesn't.
No, I know. And that's kind of what I'm getting prepared
Speaking
to go
of
there
idiots.
Now, and I'm probably going to get yelled at for
Uh-oh.
An hour. But
well, you should yell back.
Well, Felger is
you
all on this high
your...
horse again. But didn't he lose that game when they traded Randy Moss and got back their soul?
And yes, Andy.
So I don't understand how many times you can revisit the crap.
Exactly. I'm trying to replicate the Felger Mez show.
Okay.
Andy's playing the role of Felger, and I'm playing the role of Tony. I'm just saying absolutely everything Andy
but
does
But no one calls
right.
him on it.
Yes, exactly.
It's even more annoying when you're there than it is listening to it.
No, it, like, you know, they're talking about, well, isn't it great to see they're sort of getting back to their championship roots? Like, first of all, this isn't by design, so shut up. It's not what they wanted to do. They don't want to score.
I don't think he's going to say that when he's
they
on
don't
the
want
show.
To score 20 points a game.
Right.
Right? I mean, do you think they wanted to be scoring 20 points a game?
Well, obviously our objective is to score one more point than
you know,
the
Tony,
if
Tony
if
says
they
yesterday.
Only won that damn game in 2007, all of this would be – we wouldn't be talking about any of this because right. then they would have won a different way, you know?
Well, but that's right. My point is – don't let the final result. And that's why I think it's so easy. If you're just going to use your analysis, it's just going to be, well, they won. That's like Andy and I yesterday. I'm not going to sit here and tell you the Jets are better than Tampa Bay because they won. That's stupid. Andy was saying about how Tampa's talent is better than the Jets. He's right. They are better than the Jets. But I could sit here if I'm Mike Felger, I'd say, well, they lost.
They lost. They're not better. Well, that's stupid. I mean, look at the player, player for player. Andy was right on that particular part of the argument. Just because the Patriots lost the game to the Giants doesn't mean they weren't far and away the best team in football in 2007. They went 18-1 and 30 seconds away from going 19-0. Now, they lost. Okay, it happens. Sometimes you get upset. But this whole thing, like, you know, Tony saying yesterday, I'm okay with 23-3. You know what I'm okay with, too? 43-3. That's right. Okay with me. Like, why can't you have a great offense and a good defense as opposed to now sort of a good offense and a good defense?
Well, and the flip side is everybody always says, sure, you can score 38 points in September, but when you're in a dogfight and you need to win a 17-14 game in January, can you do it? Well, how about, sure, you can win a 23-3 game in September, but can you win a shootout if you have to in January?
Because you just...
I'd argue right now it's no, and both no's end up with the same thing. You going home and you don't get a ring.
Because you're just as likely...
Because you're not good enough.
...to have to win a playoff game 35-27 as you are, you know, having to win one 17-14.
Certainly in the modern era.
In the modern era.
Of Paul Perillo football, where you can run all you want. We're going to throw the ball. We're going to score points and defense sucks.
I mean, I think you probably would have to go back to like the 07 Giants.
Look at 2003. All right.
Well, that's not the modern era.
No, but listen, they do it the way we thought, you know, we've been talking about with, you know, that stifling defense. And once they get that lead, you knew that then they get into the Super Bowl and what happened?
Shootout.
It's a shootout. You know?
32-29.
I would also ask a separate question. Mike Felger, you have to pick one Patriots team, 2007 or 2001. I'm going to take your family. I'm going to pull a Fred Kirsch. I'm going to hold a knife to their throat. You need to pick a team to win a game. 01 or 07. Who are you taking?
Sure, I'm taking 07.
See, but they would but they would take 01.
Well, he's full of poo.
No, I know.
He's full of
because
poo.
He would sit there and say, he would sit there and he would tell you that they had the you know, the intangibles and the toughness and
all, that
and all this crap. And
you know what? If Vinatieri doesn't hit a field goal, you're not saying they have the intangibles would, and the toughness and all this
crap. Plus,
the 07
offense would have bludgeoned them to death. Like, that, they
it's
were
just
talking.
So stupid.
They were, I actually
and by
heard
the
them,
way, the little thing you were just doing, you're right, Andy. That's annoying.
You think?
Like, no,
you
but.
Think?
No, but I'm saying if I were Mike Felger, I couldn't sit there and have somebody say, you're absolutely right, Mike. All like, that's not fun.
Yes.
There's no joy in that. That's really annoying.
It sounds like he's upset that he's agreeing with him too. The way you're,
well, he tends to get. I mean, I love Tony, I do, but he tends to get really emotional
in a man way, though, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, what difference does it make to you?
It's Massachusetts.
Who's asking?
I just want to know.
Why do I have to declare?
By the way,
to you?
I do.
Well, you are married to a woman.
I do want
to.
So
I can't have one of each.
I do want to thank somebody.
Is that frowned upon?
I don't think that's legal. We're not in polygamy. Is there gay polygamy?
I don't know. Anyway,
why are you shaking your head?
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable how we get off the tracks. It's just unbelievable.
I do want to thank someone from Canada
John
who
Rook?
Sent me some Patriots socks today for being the number one Patriots fan. I don't know who it is.
Is that
but
because your feety pajamas didn't actually
maybe,
have...
Maybe.
But complete the ensemble.
Whoever it is or whatever club or whoever sent me the socks, thank you.
What if they have
show
like
yourself.
Cyanide in them or something? They're eating away at your
they
feet.
They sent them right. to you for being the biggest fan?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
And why didn't we get any?
I don't know.
Well, we're not the biggest
fan.
Well,
fans. You guys are far from fans, right? Paul wears not being a fan as a badge of honor.
He wears not being
why
a fan socks.
By the way, Fred's taking the Falcons tomorrow, just so you know.
So I guess you're not a fan.
I didn't say that.
Well, I know you're taking the Patriots.
I didn't say that.
Because you've never picked against
him. He insinuated earlier he's taking the Falcons.
I wow. did not.
You're going to fall.
I said.
Let me give you your analysis.
I said we would discuss it on Thursday.
Let me give you your analysis. I think there's a chance the Patriots could win. And as long as I think there's a chance, I'm going to pick them.
So when is there never a chance?
Exactly. That's why he never picks the other team.
You're right, Paul.
Because there's no game. I mean, it's the Patriots have never been in since Brady's been the quarterback. They've never
right.
been in a situation where
right.
they have Jacksonville going to Seattle.
Right. If
and
this
they had
was
no
Jacksonville,
chance.
It'd be different.
So he's just going to pick the Patriots.
Well,
every
that St.
Time.
Louis game was one where a lot of people were on the other side of the ledger.
But you would have thought there was a chance that they could come together.
Oh, sure.
I did. I was wrong. I
sure.
thought St. Louis would win that game.
Sure.
So, all right.
So then there's that. Yeah.
Well, I also
and there you go, Fred.
I reminded him, we haven't been getting the, are you mentally prepared to lose this football game
from Fred the first 3 weeks. Now, maybe we were just treating it as the preseason and we knew that he was not mentally
prepared. I wasn't mentally prepared to lose any of those
But this
games.
Week, he is clearly mentally prepared to lose.
I haven't said anything that he's just said that I did say.
And Fred needs to clarify because Eric and I haven't been on the show for most of the show.
You know, once again, Andy putting words in other people's mouths, but.
That's better. Never mind.
But we will discuss it tomorrow. One more email. This is from Wichita, Kansas.
Wichita.
Been listening for 6 years. I was wondering why Tompkins isn't a choice for NFL Pepsi Rookie of the Week. I mean, did not the guy have a worthy performance with his two touchdowns? What the hell? What are we, chopped liver?
He wasn't even the Patriots' best rookie on Sunday.
And also, anyway, the Emilio Earhart comment was when the discussion somehow diverged into the host of Totally Patriots. Right.
Oh, Romero.
Romero. You said Emilio.
Emilio.
Earhart.
You did. You said Emilio. You did. That's right. I heard that. I was here for that part.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I still think it's random that Romero hosts it.
I didn't know that. But just judging
John,
by...
John, you're the expert on the broadcasting industry. You wrote a book or something.
At JRBroadcast.com.
Do you know Romero? Have you crossed paths with
him?
No.
No. I have not.
Okay, good.
No. Maybe I should.
Apparently he does Totally Patriots.
What's the matter?
What?
I don't know. You seem a little off your game.
He forgot his headlights.
No, the headlights are in the bag. I haven't put them on yet.
Do you wear those at night, literally, like walk around?
No. But I do. When I have to read, you know.
Do you?
Yes.
Lay
when
in
I
bed
read,
with those?
Yeah.
I could see
sometimes
that.
Sometimes when you're in bed with those, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
wacky stuff goes on in the rookie.
Stop grinning, Andy.
I did just like have this image of John and a lady friend in the bed, and he's like, hang on a second. And he clicks on the headlights.
Hey, you ain't seen nothing, honey.
No. In my case, he'd be like, oh, God, turn those off.
The less I see, the better.
Yeah, exactly.
So what do you got going on the playbook today, John?
Well, I guess we kind of turned the page to the Atlanta Falcons.
Yep.
The fact is that before the season started and everybody's looking at potential pitfalls down the way, right?
Yep.
Atlanta was the very first one that I thought that would be an opportunity for them to stub their toe. And I don't know that I've really seen a whole heck of a lot that will cause me to change my mind from that point, but we'll start looking a little bit more closely at the Falcons. John Manasso of Fox Sports South, who covers the Falcons, is going to join us in our 3 o'clock hour to begin divulging what the Dirty Birds have in store for the Pats.
By the way, John, you are a veteran broadcaster, so I'd like to get your take on all the media on media crime that's going on these days.
Media on media crime?
Yeah, I mean, Ben Volen and Michael Holley.
Oh, they're a little tete-a-tete?
Yeah, and everyone's yelling at Albert Breer for the way he conducts himself in press conferences. What do you think of that? What do you think of
Volen and who? What happened?
Michael Holley.
Oh, really?
Think of media criticizing media?
They had a little pissing match the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
On the air?
No, it was more on Twitter than anything else.
No,
and then the response came
on
the air.
It did
get on the air. It spilled over onto radio. What do I think about that?
Yeah.
Honestly, I think it's guys that are just looking to make names for themselves because, and with all due respect, and I respect each of those guys.
I'm going to take shots at them right now.
No, I'm going to tell you the truth because that's kind of what I'm supposed to do here in this particular instance. If I'm going to play journalist, I'm going to show you both sides of the story. A lot of times guys are willing, I think, to make outlandish statements and to reply in return to outlandish statements because they know that it'll get traction. And so people will see it. People will read it. They don't care whether or not they're right or they're wrong. All they care on is, you know, their Twitter feed getting hit or their website getting hit. They're getting traffic and then go to their boss and say, see, I'm relevant. And so I really think that sometimes when media gets on media, like you're referring to, it's really egos getting in the way of doing a job.
Okay. Do you think so? You don't like it? You're not.
I'm not a big fan of it.
No.
But I would tell you that if I really thought that there was something with some substance to it and that maybe I felt strongly enough about a particular subject that I could see where I might want to chime in or I might want to defend a guy if he's a friend or a cohort or somebody that I actually know in this business that I respect and I was defending him, then I could see where I could, you know, get into that. But it wouldn't be because I want my Twitter handle to get hit. It would be because I'm trying to take up for a friend who I believe is right. And believe it or not, I think there is something to journalistic integrity in this country. And I'd like to see that it kind of maintains itself.
Sure.
So. That's my America.
All right. John Rook coming up on the playbook. That's it for us. We'll be back tomorrow. Picks. I think I won this week, but we'll talk about it tomorrow.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.